Atlas Butler is built to keep you comfortable, and our plumbing services are no exception. You can rely on Atlas Butler for trusted, convenient plumbing and drain service. Our expert plumbers and drain specialists can take care of anything, from a broken water heater to a clogged drain. Call today, get it fixed today. That's our pledge to you.
Atlas Butler is at your service. Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Visit bmifcu.org/free.
Hello, friends. You're now listening to the Lifestyle, Leisure, and Sports Show you never knew was two of those things.
I think we can all acknowledge that if this fails, you two will be fired and I will remain. So, no pressure.
Bo Bishop, a regional media icon. Winner of Emmys. Purveyor of the good life.
Sir, you don't know that for a fact.
I just said it on the radio.
Also, two guys this company named Employee of the Month.
What are you talking about?
Paul Hogan is Hulk Hogan's brother.
Uh-huh.
Look it up.
Because it's Hulk Hogan. That's his real name.
One guy is from Australia. The other one is from Tampa.
You mean he's from Hollywood, brother?
Not brothers. Chops.
Yes, they are.
This is Bishop and Friends.
All right, let's do a live on a Monday edition of the program. Bo and the boys with you for the next three. Austin Ward coming up at 10:33, as he customarily does. Danny Cannon-Cunningham going to join us at 11:33 on the Cavs as they were chanting, "We want Boston." Well, you're going to get Boston. We hit you with the Weekend Blitz coming up at 11 o'clock as well. I did not blink this weekend. It was an up-at-dawn siege. It started Friday night. We had two lacrosse games Friday night. We had lacrosse tournament over the weekend. We had, I think we had six games between the boys on Saturday. And then my wife was volunteering at the tournament, and so she was locked in all day yesterday, and we had some cleanup and everything. It's pretty amazing when you get locked into one of these things. And you think about that. We oftentimes talk about silos of information. My kids right now are in a lacrosse silo. They're completely obsessed with it. It's not a sport that I grew up even really having any passing knowledge of. I had no point of reference on the sport whatsoever. Other than just to, I think in college there was a dude, at the end of the hall in college who had a lacrosse stick. And looked as if he also maybe could have starred in really any Cheech and Chong movie. Would have been a good, he could have fit right in with that. And so he had a stick, and he would have a hacky sack, and he would screw around with it a little bit. That's the first time I ever saw a stick. But my kids got into it. I had them pick, they played baseball and they played lacrosse until the second grade. And I said, dudes, we got to pick. We can't do both. I can't get pushed in a lot of directions. They all picked lacrosse. And so when they weren't playing, they were tossing the ball around with each other outside. I created some game, some 21 game, that they play on the sport court that they play to 21, like one on two. So we do that kind of a lacrosse version of the basketball game 21. And then they were like locked into the selection show last night, the NCAA lacrosse selection show. They're all worried about these PLL teams. And it's like you get into a sport silo like this, and it's funny no matter which one you are, because my guess is many of you out there listening right now are like, yeah, baseball's like that for us. I believe you. Or if you're somebody who's still playing AAU basketball, which you should probably would be this time of year, then that's the silo that you're in. But I got to be careful because I am so inundated with lacrosse. You would think that it's the only damn thing that matters. Now, somehow I was able to see all of the game threes or game sevens. I worked all of those in. I saw vast majority of all of these games because of the way that the games hit. I did not see all of the Stars and Knights, but I saw the third period of it last night. But I watched all of the Leafs and Bruins. That was absolutely riveting on Saturday night. We were done at that point. And the way that the Cavaliers game hit on Sunday was in between. By the way, why was it 1 o'clock?
It was the only NBA game yesterday. And for some reason, they put it at 1 o'clock on a Sunday. I guess the TNT slot filled by that Golden Knights Stars game? Did they not have that? But why couldn't ESPN
do?
Because they like ABC afternoon.
No, it was fine.
I mean, I liked it. Yes.
Yeah. I liked it too because I was able to watch it.
It was great.
I was able to watch it. If it was almost any other time, I wouldn't have been. I didn't want it at 9, but 1 o'clock was a window.
It ended up being the only game on Sunday, and it was a game 7, but it sort of got relegated the way Cavs Magic, the entire series, did to like the early game on NBA TV that they're like, yeah, okay, they have a game 7. We'll throw them Sunday afternoon, and then that was the only thing they had for coverage. But it was a really great game, and I was glad that we got it at the time we did. It really fit nicely into the day as well, and it wasn't something that you had to then on Sunday night like stay up for. I wanted to say one thing about your lacrosse topic there, because it was when I was in high school when it really started to take off. Because even when I was in like middle school, it was kind of like you were saying, not as egregious as you seeing lacrosse stick for the first time, but almost like a counterculture move for people. Like
I think that's probably fair.
Yeah, like a different sport that nobody is, it's a little bit obscure at the moment and nobody really plays. And then all of a sudden it took off. And now, everybody who plays the normal, all the other sports that everybody has played for years is now playing lacrosse. And I noticed that started to happen when I was in high school.
Reese, you're at the epicenter at UA.
Yeah, I mean, all the good athletes played lacrosse in the spring.
Yeah.
The rest of us did track and field.
Well, that's the Bootsy story from last week, right?
Yeah.
Didn't even know what it was.
And there was some really good track and field athletes, most of them sprinters. But outside of that, it was lacrosse in the spring.
Yeah. I mean, it's just what they do. It's what they do at those. Yeah. I don't know. It feels like having no background of it, like when the machine came, I remember doing a story with those guys. I remember Steele Stanwyck launching balls at Dami. I remember that quite vividly. And I remember going to those games. They were at Ohio Wesleyan, and they would play up there. Then eventually, didn't they play at like Fortress Obetz or something, Chops?
Where
you were calling games?
No, it was either the last or second to last season at OWU the year that I called it. But then, they were a part of building that whole Fortress Obetz thing. But now they're gone. I don't even, is Major League Lacrosse even anything anymore?
No, PLL, it's over. Just kind of wiped it. PLL swallowed it.
Yeah. Okay.
They swallowed it up. Yeah. And so it's gone. Well, we had Paul Rabel on last summer when they came in here with the tour.
Right.
And we really pushed for him to bring a team here. And I thought this market was ripe for it. And he kind of ignored the whole Midwest. He went East Coast, West Coast, with all of his franchises, and he kept everything out of the middle of the country. So, I'm sure there'll be expansion at some point. It's one of those things though, where you certainly can see the amount of growth and popularity in it. But I guess back to that silo point, I don't know if it's just because the town I live in loves it. Like, I don't know if it's this way everywhere, but like they're into it. Like I saw Bill Bender is doing like a breakdown of the bracket on Sporting News, of the NCAA bracket that comes out. So yeah, I don't know. It was interesting how your kids lock into something and they just become all consumed with it. Like Beamsy can name PLL players like full rosters the way I could do like Lakers Celtics when I was a kid.
Yeah.
I mean, all in.
I guess that just kind of happens depending on what your kids are
doing.
I'm sure there's parents who know a lot about like the choir teams at different schools, you know, because you're just so involved and ingrained with it. But I think it's not something to be ignored with lacrosse that it hasn't been growing, because that was another thing high school classmates would say to me. They'd be like really excited about it because maybe they were in this situation you were, where it's all they're thinking about and they're right around it. They'd be like, it's the fastest growing sport in the country. And I was like, yeah, but what are the numbers at? Because like it could be growing, but does it compare to football and basketball?
No.
And
I mean, it definitely is ascending, but it's a long road. I mean, like soccer, think how long soccer was on that road in this country to get to, I mean, you people think like MLS 96, okay, let's go after the World Cup in 94. I mean, there was professional soccer in this country in the 70s. Like Pele played for the New York Cosmos. That happened. He played. Like he played in this country. Like in, they had huge crowds.
I didn't know that. That's news to me.
Franz Beckenbauer played for the New York Cosmos. Johan Cruyff played for I want to say it was either Miami or Tampa Bay. But no, there was a pro. They play in front of 80,000 people in that league. I can't remember what the NASL maybe. But the New York Cosmos were, Pele played the end of his career here. They were absolutely. So you talk about that long road of growth it took before MLS hit, and then to what MLS is now, to what it was even when I was following it day to day when I was doing the Crew Extra stuff. I mean, that's 17 years of growth that I've seen. We did the numbers on the MLS, the attendance stuff last week, with almost all of them are at 90% capacity. That was not the case 15 years ago. Not close.
North American Soccer League, the New York Cosmos.
Oh, wow. I nailed it.
Around from 1970 NASL. Until 1985.
15 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then it went away for almost 20 years, and now it's come back. And even then, once the MLS came back, it's not like that hit the ground running, but like you were talking about, that has steadily grown over the years, both here with the success of the Columbus Crew and saving them, but also overall across the league.
Yeah. I think if you're the thing that what Rabel's trying to do with PLL is they start. So the biggest event in lacrosse is the national championship, which is Memorial Day weekend.
Okay.
So he has the draft the next day, and then the next weekend they're playing. So pretty smart, right? Like try and steal momentum and have it. Remember, they were the only ones to play during the pandemic. That's when my kids fell in love with it. They were the only ones. They went out to Utah and they played.
Just remember, set
they
up had their own bubble? Lacrosse camp, basically.
Yeah, they came up with a bubble. I remember Therese and I talking about it because it was the only live sports that you could watch. That was it. It was PLL in the summer in Utah. And they were doing it. And it was on ABC. And you were like, or NBC, one of the two, was like, wow, sports, competition. Let's check it out.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think while that was terrifying for them, they benefited from that going forward. But yeah, I think ideally you just want to be out of it by Labor Day. You just want to be out before football. Right now he goes into September. And I just think you just want to go short, like just start weekend after Memorial, get out by Labor Day.
Yeah,
like have your your championship game on Labor Day.
Competing against football is not going to work for you. But I like that schedule. The WNBA kind of gets a similar thing with the way theirs was. So like this Caitlin Clark just played her first preseason game.
Little girls weekend. Were talking about it over the weekend, buddy.
Yeah they
little
lost, girls. Bum.
Yeah, she better get ready because 21 points isn't going to cut it. No, it's actually a pretty good outing. But I don't know what preseason, what the rosters look like in WNBA and how to do that. But yeah, that's the same thing, is that you can capitalize off of some of these guys going far in the lacrosse tournament. They're really popular right now. And boom, in a couple of weeks, they're in a PLL jersey. That's a really smart calendar move. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Right now, like I said, I think it goes just a little too long. But it's this summer months. We were talking about it before we got on air. Like, I mean, this used to be baseball, right? And it still is. Like, people are still going to the yard in a very big way. But there are more and more people who kind of look at this inventory and say, what could we do with it? And could these things be growing? WNBA is a great example with Caitlin Clark. And will her effect last and push over into WNBA in terms of attendance, in terms of viewership? This lacrosse stuff, all of this stuff is kind of all happening at the same time, all fighting for eyeballs and all fighting for your attention and inevitably all fighting for your entertainment dollar. I will say this, a game 7 is absolutely undefeated. Thrilling stuff. Much more on the Cavs and their big win. The NHL side of it as well. My God, the Maple Leafs. You can't wrap your head around that type of pain that franchise.
Can't trust them.
Oh my God. It's just so much pain. And a great many of you watch the Kentucky Derby. Is there anything to that? We're off and running on a Monday edition, Bishop and Friends, right here on The Fan.
Big Voice Guy here to remind you that you're listening to The Fan, Ohio sports destination. Okay, thanks. I have 3 more seconds. Bye-bye.
Hey there, friends. Bo Bishop here, and the playoff action is here, and there isn't a more rewarding sports book in the game than Tipico. Get ready to bet on the biggest games of the year, the playoff basketball, the hockey, the actions every night. You want to make the most of every game? You've got to bet with Tipico. You'll get up to 5% cash back on your bets. Claim your new sign-up bonus now and get $150 in protected bets when you deposit $100. Sign up now. Enter the promo code THEFAN150 to get your bonus. Download the Tipico Sportsbook app today. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions do apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
If you say something with enough confidence, it must be true. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
And certainly the playoff action is here. Is it a more rewarding sports book in the game than my friends at Tipico? Get ready to bet on the biggest games of the year, playoff hoops and hockey. It's every night. If you want to make the most of every game, you've got to bet with Tipico. You get up to 5% cash back on your bets. Enjoy the highest cash back in the industry with the most rewarding sports book. Claim your new sign-up bonus now. Get $150 in protected bets when you deposit $100. Sign up now. Enter the promo code THEFAN150 code to get your bonus. Download the Tipico Sportsbook app today and start your winning. Must be 21 or older, physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER for more. All right, Reese, you're down big. Your boys, you're in your Cavaliers gear today. You're down big early. Feelings.
Down 18 going into the half. Be honest, I thought they had us for a moment. But then the third quarter, they actually won another third quarter. So Donovan Mitchell decided, putting the team on my back again. And they were able to. It helps when Orlando doesn't make shots. Because, sure. Boy, that's a team that you can frustrate easily because they just wear their emotions so much on their sleeves. But it became the Donovan Mitchell show. You know, Evan Mobley's defensively has been great, and Caris LeVert adding 15 off the bench really helped, but this was a Donovan Mitchell willed this team through a game seven that I didn't 50 know.
Friday, right?
Yeah. 50
Friday?
89 points in two games.
Yeah. Second most in two games to end a series in NBA history. Allen Iverson had 90 in 2001.
So in a nutshell, you want the analysis of game seven, Donovan Mitchell would not lose.
No.
Because he didn't get much else from anybody outside defensive efforts from Mobley, and then LeVert was big coming off the bench scoring.
There is, we'll have more on the Cavs in a second, just from a big picture perspective. Game sevens are pretty undefeated, man. When it's all on the line like that, and the Cavs pulled away once you get into the third and fourth, and so it didn't really have that drama at the end. You wouldn't know it from the building. I mean, the building was absolutely humming, and you could feel that coming through the television screen. But the other two certainly did. The Saturday night in Boston, it's scoreless through two. We've talked before about the Maple Leafs. I mean, that's, I guess the thing would be if the Ohio State football team hadn't won a national championship since 1967.
And then just constantly falls into something that just, yeah, like,
right.
And it's too just good like, to be true or trained right. or fiction like, type stuff. Yeah.
Wrap your head around the epicenter of the sport.
I mean, is that Notre Dame football?
Maybe. Yeah, maybe. Maybe a little bit Notre Dame football. Maybe the late Leafs are. I said with Jody last week, they're kind of like the Red Sox before the Red Sox won it, except if the Red Sox were the Yankees.
That's the thing.
Do you know what I mean?
You have to add like an extra qualifier to get to where the Leafs are at this point.
It's not just that. I mean, it's that plus, I suppose there's maybe some Knicks doppelgangers for the Leafs. You know, like the Knicks or Madison Square Garden, kind of the Mecca, hoops, all of that. It's unbelievable how little success they've had through the years, the amount of money they've thrown at it, the popularity that they have in their own city, in their own country. It's crazy. And so, you know, all of that going into it. And this one was on Saturday night. I was locked into all of this. It's scoreless through two. The Leafs score first in the third and you go, okay, Can you get the second? Samsonov was the surprise starter in net. Matthews had a slick feed to Nylander to make it 1-0. And you go, can you hang on in Boston? Now remember, Boston lost a 3-1 series lead last year. So they would have been the first team ever to lose a 3-1 series lead in back-to-back years had they blown it, because they were up 3-1 in this series. Boston shortly thereafter, and then Pastrnak hits the game winner just kind of on a, it's just kind of a gritty goal, like just kind of sloppy at the one end, and he caroms off and he buries it, and that's it. And the Leafs are done again. So that one had all of the feels.
Yeah, when, you know, it just came off the boards and it was just sitting there for Pastrnak, and he's able to put it in. And then it's overtime, so it's just over. So one, you get everything from the game seven, the stuff you're talking about, the Leafs and how disappointing that is for their franchise for another year to be cut when they were getting excited. Maybe they were going to pull off this 3-1 comeback. Austin Matthews back in the lineup for game seven, but no. And instead you're on this opposing ice where it's just going crazy in the Boston Garden at that point. And yeah, people just, then that's what a game seven brings you. Now these two have met each other in the playoffs a number of times, even recently. And then also they're both original sixes. So it's already there, but I think that's one of the cool things about game seven is it sort of, for one night, creates this rivalry atmosphere, even if the two teams don't have a ton of bad blood with each other. But because all of a sudden in these sports where, you know, you play 82 regular season games, you have seven games before you, or at least a handful of games before you even have to worry about being in an elimination situation in the playoffs. But in a game seven, you lock all that up and it turns into a one-off, and everybody, crowd, players, everybody included, is just sitting on eggshells throughout the whole game.
Yeah, and it's one of those things where even the original six, all of it, like it's a gorgeous looking thing. I mean, these two teams would have played even if the NHL had a 1-8 seeding, because they're the 4 and the 5 seed overall in the Eastern Conference. So they would have played regardless. It felt like an Eastern Conference final, I mean, the give a damn level of the two franchises is just off the charts. So it certainly had that feel to it. And it was riveting stuff. I watched the third period of the one last night. I had it kind of on in the background between Vegas and Dallas, and Dallas moving on in that. I can give you an update. I have it here somewhere of where we stand. Remember we drafted the teams?
Yes.
So that was a critical one last night. Chops, you could have been down to just one team.
Oh, boy.
Had Dallas not won. I had Vegas. So I still have the Avs and the Bruins. You still have the Rangers and the Stars. And Young Master Reese has Edmonton, the Canes, and he also has Florida. So he has three.
He's going to pick up some points possibly in the second round.
Well, he's definitely going to, because if this thing is now all set up. So it's Stars and Avs on the west side, and then on the bottom half, it's Canucks and Oilers, and then on the east, it's Panthers, Bruins, and Rangers and Canes. So that's where we stand.
No, I don't feel very good about my chances. Right after we did that draft, right out here in the hallway, Rothman was telling Reeser that he fleeced us, so maybe he did. Well, I guess we'll have to see, but so far it's working we'll out for out. Him.
But yes, confidence is high there for me.
Yeah.
Confidence was not high yesterday for the Cavaliers, but... Look,
all worked out.
The TD Garden is, as much as I dislike it, one of the more historic venues in sport. And so what you got Saturday night, I think it was on ABC, was a chance to parachute in if you were just a casual hockey observer. One of the great things about that sport, and one of the great things really about sport in general. Win or go home, two historic franchises,
yeah.
An atmosphere that is almost unrivaled. And I think you'll get some of that Tuesday in game one between the Cavs and the Celtics. But as I heard Cleveland fans chanting, "We want Boston," I had to just sit back and be like, I don't think you do.
No, probably not.
I do not think. And again, we talked to Chris Fedor when he was on last week, said Boston's worst enemy in this, or Boston's biggest hurdle to getting to the NBA finals is Boston. And so if you can catch lightning in a bottle, if you're the Cavaliers, yeah, with another 50-point performance from Donovan Mitchell, if Jared Allen can come back a little bit healthy. I know we'll continue to talk about the Cavaliers and what they face with this almost insurmountable Boston team, but if Boston chokes a little bit, you can capitalize maybe.
Well, listen, you got a superstar.
Helps.
You have a superstar, so that part helps. One other thing I wanted to get to here as we look back on the sports weekend, 17 million of you watched the Kentucky Derby. Over $200 million was bet on this thing. It was a photo finish.
As photo finish as it can get, yeah.
As much as it can be. It was a thrilling race. I didn't see it in real time. We were at a game, but I came and watched it on, I DVR'd it and watched it later. It's always something near and dear to my heart. Loved the spectacle of it.
Were you able to hold off on the finish?
Yeah.
Okay.
The only person who would text me the finish would be my dad. And I just block all of his texting anyway. So
I don't check those.
Hopefully he doesn't listen.
Once a week, I check all the texts for my dad.
Just catch up on the weather. He's big on telling me what the weather is back home as if I'm coming. What do I care if it's 62 and rainy? It doesn't affect me. So there are a few of those out there on the calendar, and the Kentucky Derby probably doesn't get as much attention as it should. I'm not suggesting that we talk about it more as like a sports media entity, but it certainly has the attention of you as a one-off. It's very similar to the Masters. In fact, I mean, 17 million, did the Masters even get 17 million? It didn't. It was like nine.
Well, I think the secret to the Derby, now they have a lot of coverage and you can watch as much as you want on Saturday, basically, but it's just that 2 minutes. Why not just tune in for the 2 minutes?
Yeah, just hop in, paratroop in for a couple of minutes and watch it. But that's a stunning number to do 17 million. And there aren't many other things in sport that get that on a one-off. And I did see like the trainer for the horse that won at Mystic Dan. He's like, I don't think we're going to do the Preakness because he doesn't do well on 2 weeks rest. Also because he Kentucky Derby winner. He's worth a hell of a lot more right now than he's ever going to be. The odds of him winning the Triple Crown, very, very slim. So take this, put him to stud, and away you go is probably the way that thing's going to go. The Cavaliers do get Boston. The fans wanted Boston. What chance do we give them in that? I'll tell you what. You got a guy who put 89 on the board in the last two games. You're saying there's a chance. Absolutely. We'll get to it coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
The Fan is live and local with Morning Juice. Caffeinate and dominate.
Weekday mornings from 6 to 9.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Atlas Butler is built to keep you comfortable, and our plumbing services are no exception. You can rely on Atlas Butler for trusted, convenient plumbing and drain service. Our expert plumbers and drain specialists can take care of anything, from a broken water heater to a clogged drain. Call today, get it fixed today. That's our pledge to you.
Atlas Butler is at your service. Call 1-800-FURNACE.
What's up?
What's up, man?
What's up with you?
Well, here's what's up on a Monday. You've got advancement of the Cleveland Cavaliers into the Eastern Conference semifinal. Winning a series for the first time without LeBron James since 93. It's been a while since that's happened. So that is a monster moment. It's a monster moment that Donovan Mitchell did what he did. Did what he did on Friday and did what he did on Sunday. I was concerned after the 50-burger that how much would you have left in your tank by the time you got to Sunday. As it turns out, in the second half, he had plenty left in the tank. The play on Friday was wild because it was just a relentless parade to the cup. Like, that takes so much energy to just penetrate every single time. It was theater to watch. That Orlando team's going to be very good in the future. They just weren't quite ready for this stage yet. Bankero's an absolute stud. So you get Boston going forward. So I'm curious, you guys both were in, I watched it at home. As I mentioned, we had a window there where I was able to watch it in between all the lacrosse stuff, and it was perfect. I actually came home, watched, it was great. You guys were in public watching it. I'm curious if what the interest was in the places you were at in this game.
It was not very high where I was at, but it was a sports bar forward place, not like a place I would normally go. J-Lo was actually, we went out to lunch and we were watching it, and she wanted to go shopping, so I was like, I'm just going to go into here and
I got you.
You can continue shopping. But it was on, but it didn't seem like there were people there specifically for it. And then also, you. Like, even down to like the waitress is like, oh, did you come in for a game? And I was like, oh yeah, the Cavs are playing a game 7. She's like, oh, are they winning? I was like, not right now. It was right in the second quarter. But yeah.
Actually, it's on right there.
Yeah. So it's a game 7, and the waitress at the sports bar isn't even familiar with the game. Yeah. So I don't think it's latching here right now.
Similar. I was at Hollywood Casino Columbus for the Fans Euchre tournament, which was a great turnout, but nobody was really there to watch the Cavs. So I think this is props to Scotty Vegas, who had it on in the ballroom there. Okay. The sound was off, though, and so most people were focused on Euchre. You could see some people turning their heads to watch it, but then in between games, I'd go to the sports book and grab a drink, and there was a lot of people there watching the Cavs. And the sound was on, but that's because it's a sports book. So yeah. I don't think the interest is quite there yet.
So I've always made this was one of those things, it's kind of chicken before the egg, because I wasn't here before other than with LeBron. So we are LeBron town for sure.
Like, yes,
no doubt. We are all in. We've seen that in his first stint in Cleveland, his second stint in Cleveland. I mean, we were way up there in terms of viewership when he was in Miami, like huge. So like, since he went to LA, I think it's dissipated because so many of their games were late and you just weren't able to see him. And they made a run last year, but again, those are 10 o'clock starts. But like, when he was on the East Coast, like, we were locked in to everything he did for 15 years. And this town was all in on LeBron James. I think what you guys just said, it's kind of the way I perceive it too, that there is an awareness. There is not, unless you're from Northeast Ohio or you have family that were and you're a diehard, probably not there the way that it was with LeBron. Can it get there? Beat Boston.
Then maybe.
Beat Boston, yeah, will jump on a bandwagon. That's kind of my thing. I mean, or even if that series goes 7, I think people will be locked into it. I was here the first time that they made the run, with LeBron, his first time through, and it was kind of a slow build to that. It was kind of like people sort of paying attention. It was like, hey, you watching the Cavs game tonight? As they made their way through the East, then the interest would start to ramp up a little bit. And when I was at Channel 10, that same thing happened. It was like, we didn't cover them at all during the season. And then as they started to advance, it was like, hey, maybe we ought to cover this a little bit. And so I'd go up and cover Cavs games at that time. So I think that if they have some success in this round, And I heard Beam talking about the most likely outcome from a betting standpoint is the Celtics sweep. So if they can have some success in this round, win a game or two, get to a game 7, or hell, pull the upset, then I think you'll be fully engaged.
Yeah, because then you're talking about an Eastern Conference Finals, and I think that's going to get people in there. It was interesting because, like I said, they were playing the sound where I was at. It's just nobody. So at least the business owners are trying to push the Cavs sure. on us. But yeah, if they win this one, then I'm trying to think back to, like, when did we tune in even with LeBron? Because his second stint with the Cavaliers was when I was in college. And by that, I mean, that 16 year, obviously they win the title, but that turned into, like, hey, let's go out and watch the Cavs game tonight. Where are you watching the Cavs game? Like, that kind of stuff. Not just the idea of, like, being aware of it and paying attention. So I'm trying to think if that, like, was all LeBron the whole playoffs, or if that kind of came up more in the later rounds.
And I bet Reese would echo this. When you had LeBron, especially the second time, well, not that first, the first year in 15, it was like, my God, we're back. This is so much fun. Right. So you're into everything. But then after that first year, it was like, wake me up when we get to the, there was no threats.
Yeah.
There was nobody to beat them.
They could cruise, like, to the conference finals, basically.
Yeah, they were playing
Toronto. That's fun to watch.
Yeah, it's just, you know, so there wasn't any sense of urgency until you got to, I mean, I don't know that they ever felt threatened to me until the finals.
It was a Toronto Eastern Conference final. It was like, but a little dicey.
Did they
dicey.
Ever stretch them to?
No, I think maybe six.
Yeah, I can't even remember them ever playing a game seven.
I just remember, like, Jonas Valanciunas. I'm like, damn, that guy.
Yeah. Yeah, it just felt like you had him, and so you were good, you know, was kind of the feeling that you had with it. This will be very, very different. Donovan Mitchell, who's just been an absolute super-duper star, looking ahead to Boston, knowing this is going to be a full day.
We are a team that, you know, can hang and play with the best and be one of the best. I firmly believe that. We know who we are, a team that is a contender. This playoff series is great, but we did what we were supposed to do in the grand scheme of it all. You know, we just took seven games. For us coming into Boston, be who we are. That's the biggest thing.
He's not all healthy either, you can tell. So it's even more remarkable, like, the way he's playing, because you can tell he's not 100%. But
well, it's even more impressive too with, like, how some of those earlier games in this series against the Magic went, like, you know, especially down in Orlando on Friday. They ended up losing, but he did not give up, like we had seen kind of the team pack it in earlier in the series, and then again just trying to will them all the way back. And this one had to come back from down 18, and he did it.
Yeah, he did. And kind of cements whatever happens this summer with him, like, he's done his part. Like, if they decide to move off of him because he won't sign an extension, whatever, like, he's provided you with a couple of years of incredibly entertaining basketball. He's provided you with a 70-point game on your court, and now he willed you to the second round. I think big picture for them, and we'll ask Danny Cunningham about this when he comes on at 11:33, it's wildly disappointing to me just what Garland and Mobley, the lack of development there. And how they have not got into that role. I did think it was critical that Mitchell passed to Garland for one of the biggest shots that had to happen. I think there's value in that. You give him a puncher's chance, though, because if you got a guy who can score 50, you can hang. And he's done it three times in the postseason. You can hang. I know this Boston team's really good, but heck, Miami get one or two off of them.
Just one.
Yeah, they had to hit 23 threes in that game to win that. But yes, without Jimmy Butler. So you have your Jimmy Butler and Donovan Mitchell. And hopefully, we'll see. It's just such a tough task against them right now. Is Porzingis supposed to be out for a
whole series?
Okay, so he's out.
He's down. Yeah. Yeah. If you're, and then the other side, so to reset, you had Minnesota winning a game one in Denver. So that's noteworthy, to say the least. So you'll have Celtics and Cavs on one half, and then you're going to have Knicks-Pacers
is tonight.
So that's kicking it old school back to the Reggie Miller, Patrick Ewing stuff. Get all the feelings out for that one. And then out west, the other one is Dallas. Who am I missing?
Mavericks. Who's the one? Are playing the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Oh, OKC. Wow.
We keep forgetting they're the one.
Yeah, they're the one. That's crazy because I've seen Chet Holmgren and Shea Gilgeous-Alexander on that commercial enough for the last month. You'd think I'd remember that at this point.
Well, it's not what a pro wants. Take it off the air.
It's a lot of it. It really is. Why would anybody sign up to be roasted? Tom Brady did. Plenty of uncomfortable moments. Plenty of things we can't play. Some things we can, but why? We'll get to it coming up next. Bishop and Friends, right here on The Fan.
The only radio station still operating with an active booze cart. I'm drunk right now. No, I'm not. Yes, I am. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Atlas Butler is built to keep you comfortable, and our plumbing services are no exception. you can rely on Atlas Butler for trusted, convenient plumbing and drain service. Our expert plumbers and drain specialists can take care of anything, from a broken water heater to a clogged drain. Call today, get it fixed today. That's our pledge to you.
Atlas Butler is at your service. Call 1-800-FURNACE.
With friends like these, who needs former college football players? This is Bishop and Friends.
I got to be honest with you. I don't think I'd have it in me to sit there while people say the most vitriolic things to you and make fun of you with a smile and then laughing about it. It's a tough spot, man. And in order for a roast to be good, you have to sign up for that. Like, you have to do it. I have no idea how this came about. I don't know how Tom Brady decided that he wanted to do this. I don't know if it was of his own behest. My hunch is that it was. Like, why would Netflix even think to call him and say, hey, we want to roast you? I don't understand. I don't know how that would even come about. It's so random that my hunch is it's probably his people who put it together. Do you guys have backstory on it, Chops?
No, but I was thinking, like, you know, Comedy Central used to do them. They would do like one a year every like summer. Yeah. But they haven't, from my knowledge, they haven't been doing that consistently, not annually. And so Netflix hasn't been doing it. So, like, where did this even come from? Who decided that they were just going to do a roast? And how did they lock in Tom Brady for the first one?
Well, I also think probably the reason Comedy Central doesn't do them anymore is because all of the funny comics are on Netflix exclusively.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I mean, that's kind of the home of comedy. Every stand-up is on Netflix. There's no other real platforms anymore. Like, even the ones that drop on HBO. HBO used to be, like, HBO, you know, like Chris Rock, you think about those, when those would drop, like, they don't even hardly have any comics anymore. It's all on Netflix, so that's probably the way. But I don't know how they land on Brady. You know, I don't know how he was the one. I tell you, it was pretty damn funny. They got Bob Kraft and Bill Belichick together. Belichick was absolutely biting in his humor. Now, obviously, comedy writers are writing all of this stuff and they're delivering it. The most awkward moment was when Jeff Ross made a massage joke about Bob Kraft, and then Brady went up to him and like said, "Knock that blank off," or "No more about that," something to that effect. That was pretty wild.
It was a "don't say that blank again." That was the indirect quote. And the mic just picked it up. Yeah, I don't think they wanted the mic to pick that up. I don't think that was a bit.
No, that was not a bit. He went straight to him and was not pleased with the joke, which was kind of crazy. I think if you sign up to be at one of those things, this is what you sign up for.
Yeah, nothing's off limits.
I think so. Yeah. What is his net gain of this?
Brady's?
Yeah.
To show he's a fun guy.
Yeah, I think it's a softening thing before he goes out and is going to be in front of all of us all the time at Fox Sports.
And it's because I was thinking about this yesterday and asked myself the same question. What the hell would he do this? A bunch of money, for one. But two, I think, to put himself out there more. And I don't even think the bunch of money's, I guess I said that incorrectly. The bunch of money probably isn't the decider, because he's got a bunch of money. He doesn't need the money. But to put himself out there as more than just football robot guy who's weird.
He's, yeah. There's probably some truth to that. He's put himself out there a lot. He'll do that golf thing at any chance he gets. That 2-on-2 golf stuff. He's done those.
He did the haircut podcast that we were talking about. His cuts from the other. I wonder if he's just looking for things to do in media, since he's like kind of venturing out into media. Just every opportunity that comes to him, he's like, yeah, I might do that.
Yeah, I think also just bored.
Yeah.
So if you've been a professional football player basically since you were in college, you remember, like, in the end, like, how hard he would work the off season to be able to play. Like, he'd start working out. He never really stopped. He'd get right to it. All the flexibility stuff that he used to do, like that training. So all of a sudden you don't have to do that. James used to always talk about, what's your why? Like, what are you getting up to do in the morning? Like, he's looking for something to do. Like, you can only play so much golf. Like, you have to have something else. And I do think it's interesting that, Manning went in the production avenue. I don't know that anybody would have had that he was going to go as into sports documentary production guy kind of the world he's in now. And he does the Manning cast, and he's done those, you know, Peyton's Places. He's done those with he did it with Abby Wambach. He did it with Vince Carter. He did it with PK Subban. He did it with Eli Manning. So he produces a bunch of those, for ESPN. And that's kind of the avenue he's chased. And Brady, I think, still trying to figure it out. He's going to call the games next year on Fox. That hasn't stopped yet, but he probably doesn't know if that's going to satisfy him or not, or how crazy he'll be about that. Nobody really knows. Nobody knows what to expect. Many of these jokes are hilarious. We cannot air many of these jokes. They're making the rounds. You can find them. Drew Bledsoe did have a pretty good run at Brady yesterday, last night rather. This was on Netflix. This is Drew Bledsoe on the roast of Tom Brady.
Buddy, you know, you have more rings than I do, but I've experienced a couple things that you will never experience. You know, the feeling of being the number one overall draft pick in the NFL and a 28th wedding anniversary. It was yesterday.
Got him.
A lot of Giselle Brady marriage jokes.
Yeah.
Was it the one from Kevin Hart? He was talking about something like where he was like, look, if you have the chance to go 8-9 and the only thing you might lose is your wife, you go and do it.
That's amazing. That is very strong. Bob Kraft also had himself a pretty good night. Like, him and Belichick took a shot together.
Mm-hmm. Kevin Hart, Belichick took two shots because he took one with Gronk, made him take another one too.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of Aaron Hernandez stuff too. That was a lot going on there. This was Kraft though with a lesson for a world leader.
And one more thing, in case Vladimir Putin you're watching, give me my f-ing ring back, will you?
Do we think he was watching?
Yeah, he'll see it.
He'll see that.
He'll see that eventually. Yeah, yeah. The clip will get in front of him.
Yeah, yeah. He definitely saw that. The whole story there was Kraft let him try on his ring, and Putin thought he was giving it to him.
Well, Kraft's got it. He's got rings to spare. He'll be fine. He's still got five of them.
Do you think he even went to ask for it back, or do you think he just said, "Oh, just make me another one"? The hell with it.
that one probably. You probably don't ask for things back from Vladimir Putin. Were they in Russia at the time, or was he visiting? So.
Well, that was in the old days. That was probably 15 years ago or so when that happened.
That's how long the Patriots have been around?
Helps that he's got several of them.
Yes,
I guess he's won several since then too.
Yeah, yeah. It was an interesting choice to be able to do it. I think you guys are probably right. It's the humanizing and let's laugh at each other and laugh at me a little bit. But boy, you'd have to have a stomach for it, because some of this, like the marriage stuff, is brutal. I mean, it's your ex-wife, it's the mother of your kids, and you're getting crushed.
Does it save you, from you, from a personal standpoint, does it save you at all the idea that you get to go up last and then roast everybody individually to get the last laugh? Because then you can go back, you can fire back at them. There was,
you
got to
be good at it.
Unfair.
It's like I always
good at it.
Dana White was not good at it.
He was really bad. That's why they only gave him 60 seconds, because he stinks.
Yeah, you can't. You got to be good. It was like that advice I always give people when they're doing the toast. Like if you're best man toast and all that stuff. Like don't be funny. Don't try to be funny unless you are. And if you don't know if you're funny, you're not. Like that's kind of the thing with that. Like, you better make sure you can land the plane
before
you.
Timing is just like so hard. It's so hard with all that stuff. And like real comedians,
they hone their jokes over
tons of times being on the microphone before you like see that special even on Netflix. And those are the professionals.
Yes, absolutely. All right. Second hour up next, Austin Ward coming up at 10:33. A couple of preeminent programs in the ACC continue to move towards leaving that conference. But is there a home? And would the Big Ten want either one of them? We'll get to that coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
If the sound of another man slammed against plexiglass turns you on, you've come to the right place. Proud to be your home for Jackets hockey. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Atlas Butler is built to keep you comfortable, and our plumbing services are no exception. You can rely on Atlas Butler for trusted, convenient plumbing and drain service. Our expert plumbers and drain specialists can take care of anything, from a broken water heater to a clogged drain. Call today, get it fixed today. That's our pledge to you.
Atlas Butler is at your service. Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Keep your friends close and your producers closer. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
Did you guys, how was your the Cinco de Mayo as you guys were out and about?
It was good. We went out to, that's right, we went out before I was at that sports bar. We went to a Mexican restaurant, but it was funny because we were there right before the start of the Cavs game, so late in the 12 o'clock hour, and it felt like everybody made their like pilgrimage to the Mexican restaurant and had lunch. And then by the time we left, more like 1:30, 2-ish, it was completely cleared out. So yeah, there, people weren't hanging out all day for it.
That's my thinking, Reese. And you were at the casino. So.
Yeah, I don't. Nobody gave it any thought at all over there.
So I think that that is a holiday, a drinking festivity, and a that needs to be during the week at night.
A Thursday or a Saturday for that?
Friday's fine. I think even Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. I think Sunday it's
We had Friday last year, which was, yeah, and it was like one of the first warm days of the season. I remember going out to a patio. Yeah. Yeah.
But like a Sunday, a Cinco de Mayo Sunday kind of gets lost in the mix, I think.
And it's not like
what I felt. There was no reference to it at all. And now we're at youth sports, but I guess there was a taco truck, but that was it.
And it's not a holiday like Halloween where you'll really like move it as much. I feel like you want to do it on actual Cinco de Mayo, like even like St. Patrick's Day, because that one has like bar crawls and stuff. People will move it to the closest Saturday generally, like, especially if it's on like a Tuesday or something. But with Cinco de Mayo, you just kind of do it on the day of. Yeah, and the Sunday felt very, as far as like the excitement level, very underwhelming from people.
Yeah, because you're winding down, man. You're kind of winding down a little bit. They didn't do that when I was a kid with Halloween. Halloween was on. You just did it the 31st. It didn't matter.
Well,
like,
I mean,
it wasn't like, I know what you're saying. They do like the beggar's night is a different night.
Sometimes they'll do that, but I was thinking more like party wise, like people actually like getting together for something.
Oh, yeah.
You always move that to a weekend night, but you're right. They will.
But when they move the beggar's night, like it was 31st no matter what.
They
like,
wanted
that's
it
when you did it
off the weekend days when I was growing up. So if the 31st landed on a weekend day to like hopefully tamp down on mischievousness, I guess.
Mischievousness,
whatever the noun form of mischief, I guess is the word to cut down on mischief. They would move it to a weeknight for the actual like go around trick or treat night. So that could be the 29th, 28th, whatever.
Yeah, it really. I mean, obviously, like Halloween's totally arbitrary. Like you could just do it the last Friday of October or the last Thursday of October if you wanted.
Yeah,
it wouldn't have to always be the 31st. Who cares? As proven by the fact that they move these beggars nights. Speaking of beggars, FSU and Clemson. So. I got a text from a buddy of mine who's somehow gotten himself, I'm too lazy to even look up, but he presents himself that he's now a person of influence at Florida State and presents himself. I don't know if he's on the board, but he definitely, he's got something, he's involved something with the administration down there.
Florida man thinks he's influential. Yeah.
He's near the board.
Yeah, he's definitely board adjacent at the very least. But he's had a very nice career, and I worked with him in television down there at the time, and from there went to MTV. Well, he's the guy who did, I think I've said this before, the Budweiser. You remember when Budweiser would do those commercials like the Thank You Derek Jeter, Cubs win the World Series, those big vignettes. And he directed a couple of the Budweiser Super Bowl commercials, like one of the Clydesdale ones back in the day. So that's his avenue. So he would have an ability to have that type of influence. So he texts me over the weekend. It's this thing of like how they're trying to allot their money and build money to try to get out of this. And so anytime I see one of these things from him or what I'm about to tell you with Clemson here and what they're trying to do in South Carolina, I always just say, okay, but where are you going? Because there's two parts of this. Okay, you got to come up with all the money, $500 million or thereabouts. That's the requirement. Once you come up with the money, where are you going? Who wants you? The Southeastern Conference does not. There, anytime I give him that, his assumption is that the Big Ten would want Florida State. Maybe. I know when he and I went back and forth and he said, look, that FSU's either gotten the AAU certification or they're trying to get the AAU certification, that they're approaching that as well. So they must have back-channeled some Big Ten interest in them is certainly the way that he presents it. Whether that's true or not, I don't know. But it's always a two-pronged attack of, okay, come up with the money, but then where are you going to land? South Carolina is now fully engaged in this. So South Carolina and Florida State obviously on the same page on this thing. They both want out. They're both trying to find any sort of release to it. From the Associated Press last week, a South Carolina court ordered the ACC to turn over documents about its agreement with ESPN that Clemson has requested in its lawsuit against the conference. Every time we go down this road, I keep coming back to the same thing. It's like a spouse, husband or wife, signing a prenuptial agreement in front of their lawyers that is binding and then arguing that it's not binding. How many people have tried to get out of this and they keep getting hit over the head with it. You signed this. You agreed to it. What is your way out? And yeah. Is the short answer to it. Every time that this happens, they get buried.
Well, for Clemson to use that language when they first filed this out in South Carolina in March, the idea that the ACC's $140 million exit fee is, quote, unconscionably high and unenforceable. Unenforceable? I don't know. I'm not a lawyer. They can figure that out. But unconscionably high is just like, no, it's that high because you signed it for this many years. So like you're saying, Bo, like you knew this going
in.
This
wasn't, you signed up for.
It wasn't news that all of a sudden, wait, it's that hard to get out of it? This deal that doesn't go until 2036, it's that hard? Yeah, you knew that. I do. Again, I'm not a lawyer, so I don't know. Do the member schools not get to look at the contracts? Is that a normal thing, or is that just something the ACC is doing?
Of course they would.
But now they're asking to be able to see it, and the ACC wants to keep it in North Carolina and like not let them have a copy of it. And if Clemson, now that Clemson has a court order to have it, they can't get FOIA'd about it. Like there is something that the ACC is trying to keep under wraps about this contract. That's for sure.
Yes, they are really worried about the physical contract not being in Florida or South Carolina or a copy of it. That's a fact.
Because the first thing, like, my eyes got wide when you said South Carolina court. I'm like, wait, the ACC is based in North Carolina, so they're going to a different state to try to get this adjudicated. It's like, what if they went to North Carolina? Would a North Carolina court just be like, no, we're siding with the place that does business here in North Carolina? Like, this is, and this, I mean, just played out in court.
The line here in the AP story, the school, this is in regard to Clemson. The school also says the grant of rights only applies if Clemson is part of the conference, and that if a school exits the league, it retains control of the media rights to its home sporting events. So this makes it read like they're willing to give up their away sporting events until 2036, and they would have the rights to their home ones.
So here's the deal. Could Clemson or Florida State just play all road games?
I don't know. Well, they would have to play all home, I think. Is the way that they're arguing is that if they play at home, then they would get the rights to them. So there's two parts. Come up with the money. That seems to be the straight. I mean, Maryland did this. They made it harder after Maryland left. But like, you've got to write a very big check. So if you write a very big check, you can get out. Neither of these two institutions has access to that kind of money. Florida State has talked about doing the venture capital thing at one point and trying to get it that way. So once you come up with the big, big bag of cash, the next thing you have to do is find a landing spot. I'm not convinced the Big Ten would want either one of these. I mean, just think how messy this would be if all of a sudden you added these two. Now, do I think the Big Ten would have an interest in North Carolina and Virginia? Yeah, I do. I know they would have an interest in those two. I don't know that they would have an interest in these two. Florida State certainly way more than Clemson, just from an eyeball standpoint. But how big and spread out can a conference be? You're reaching, I mean, we talk about it with the scheduling, like we view it through the prism of football, but like you're going to have to schedule all of those way West Coast teams. They've got to play conference games. So now you're going to add the Deep South to the footprint. It makes no sense.
Yeah, you'd be basically in all four corners of the country, plus most of your teams kind of right there in the middle. It's like, crazy. How does that work? They really would be the coast-to-coast conference. Is the Big Ten dastardly enough to be pushing along FSU through back channels in hopes that the ACC falls apart, and then they can go actually pick the teams they want, but they'll let the dirty work be done by FSU and Clemson in the meantime? Because that's the problem. It's not only, like, you're right, they have to have a place to go, but even if they do have a place that's interested, they will have no bargaining power and literally have just spent more money than they actually have just to get into that position of having no bargaining power. And you're going to need the money. And the Big Ten, even if the Big Ten were to offer FSU, it's definitely going to be at the very least what the Washington, Oregon rate is, and possibly even lower. Because again, where else are you going to go? Florida State?
They're nowhere. Which as I was thinking about this morning, with FSU and Clemson, I wonder if what their game plan here is, let's break this contract and do a new one on our own.
Just sell Florida State independently?
Come up with a new conference.
Yeah.
It's not that hard. I mean, you could, a conference with Florida State, Clemson, like you have to trim the fat though. You have to get rid of the schools that make no sense, right? But if you did a conference consisting of Florida State, Clemson, Miami, North Carolina, Duke, NC State, Notre Dame.
Virginia and Virginia Tech, maybe?
UVA. Yeah, kind of like the old, honestly, the old ACC.
Yeah. But kind of cut out.
What's old is new again.
Just get rid of Wake. Get rid of Georgia Tech. Get rid of Boston College. Get rid of Syracuse. Get rid of Louisville. I don't know if you'd want to get rid of Louisville. They get a lot of money. But that is certainly more attractive than the Big 12. There's no doubt. Like if they went to market with kind of an aligned group of ACC schools, it would have more value than a Big 12 model would. Absolutely.
Especially with one less power conference.
For sure.
You know, they're not competing with the Big 12 numbers. So there's only so many power teams that can make your shows for your television channels now.
Yeah. To me, the more I think about this, the more I just kind of come back to, there's no dance partner for so many of these teams. And if they were able to go to market, you know, trimming the fat and go to market together, I think there might be a market for them. Would it be 90 million? No, it's not going to be that, but it might be 50.
It might
have been similar to what the Pac-12 thought it could get if they could actually get to market.
Even if it's not much more than the low to mid 30s that them and like the Big 12 are both on track for, they could set it up where their next negotiating window is hopefully in 2030 or maybe even 2031, something like that. So they get another bite at that's the problem is 2036 is not only too low of a number compared to the Big 10 and the SEC. It's actually fine compared to the Big 12, but the Big 12 is going to have another chance to go to market before this ACC deal is even up. And presumably their number will go up and then they will squarely be in fourth place.
I wonder beneath all of this if Clemson and Florida State kind of understand that there's no real path. They're just trying to make this as difficult for the ACC and by association ESPN as possible. So where they come to the table and they try to renegotiate something that's a little bit closer to what the Big 12 is going to get. And in the same vein, doing a service to the other schools who aren't as enthusiastic about trying to leave the conference, but would still like something better for themselves, or at least create an easier path to where then they could join in on all of these suits and countersuits.
I think it's more likely that than they have to know that there's very little interest. Like, where is Clemson going to go? The SEC doesn't want them or need them. I don't think the Big Ten wants them.
Like, they can't just survive by themselves out in the wild. So like, this has to be we've got a landing spot for this. It's just going to be the same spot we're jumping off of, but different.
We just want to tear up. And remember couple years ago when this all first started, guys, I said the best chance they have is ESPN, which is shareholder driven by Disney and all of that, saying, hey, it behooves us to do this over.
Yeah.
We're going to do better by you.
Because right now the grant of rights is the only thing keeping it together and not Pac-12-ing themselves, but it's also slowly killing them because it's not enough money.
Yeah. So the only way that it's to do it would be that if they say, hey, for the long-term health of our entities, and these are our partners, we need to give them a little bit more, which is a tough sell for board members, right? When you're having to answer to a board. So that to me is the quickest way possible. And I do wonder if they're looking to just try to break this thing and renegotiate another one on the fly, because where are you going to land? Yeah, Carolina, Virginia, sure. By the way, those are the same two schools that the SEC would want. They would want those two. It's not FSU and Clemson. FSU's in a better spot than Clemson, but just marginally. We do have some news on potential for what a CBA could look like without employment. We will get to that coming up next. Bishop and Friends are here on The Fan.
We have so many local shows, I can't fit them in a 10-second promo. So let's just say we're live and local all damn day. The Fan.
Atlas Butler is built to keep you comfortable, and our plumbing services are no exception. You can rely on Atlas Butler for trusted, convenient plumbing and drain service. Our expert plumbers and drain specialists can take care of anything, from a broken water heater to a clogged drain. Call today, get it fixed today. That's our pledge to you.
Atlas Butler is at your service. Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Not interested in Iowa football? Too bad. Shops will tell you about it anyway. This is Bishop and Friends.
Hey guys, it's Chops, and I'm making you an opportunity, one might say. How about setting a goal to lose 40 pounds by the fourth with Awaken 180? Has a different ring to it when you have a finish line, right? 40 by the
40 by the 4th. Imagine this. Your scale shows 240 today. How about watching that dip to a cool 200 by Independence Day? Maybe it's reading a little bit closer to 285 like my scale did. How would it feel seeing 245 by the 4th and on your way to losing 95 pounds? Again, like I did with Awaken 180, and I've kept it off for over a year now. Looking back, it took me only 8 weeks to drop my first 40, and with the same results, you'll crush that goal by the 4th. So it's easy, it lasts. Give Awaken 180 a shot. 40 by the 4th. Set your goal and attain it with your long-term solution for weight loss online at awaken180weightloss.com. And Bishop and friends, we're sponsored by Awaken 180. Fast, sustainable weight loss without medications. The solution for weight loss. Awaken 180 weight loss.
All right. How many of you were either of you aware that there was a such thing as the College Football Players Association? Were you aware that this existed?
No.
Okay. How many players currently wearing scarlet and gray are aware that this exists? My guess is next to none.
Yeah, I'm guessing there's got to be a few. They try to reach out to like guys on each team, and there's probably like guys who like are at the forefront of it on each squad. Yeah. But I don't think they've wrapped people into it yet.
So
hope Will Howard has an awareness of it.
Probably, he's been around, so like the best chance. Here's what it is. This is their mission statement. The College Football Players Association was founded to represent past, present, and future college football players nationwide. The CFPBPA will make sure that college football players everywhere are finally organized to have a collective voice in the decision-making within their sport. It's dedicated to being a member-led organization by and for the players. They have values here. We want to improve the lives of college football players, past, present, and future. The lives of each and every one of these individuals is important. We love the game of football. We want to see it better, safer, and healthier. Meaningful change must and can only be accomplished through an organized movement of current and future college football players. You need to get high school kids, should be a player's institution to push for the change that they desire in the game of football. Here's the problem. The people, I mean, there's a billion, but the people who are most going to be most locked into this are going to be people who have already played. They're the ones who are going to be the most locked in. So what are they going to want? They're going to want restitution for what has happened in the past. The reason we're even talking about this is because Ross Dellinger, who again is like a one-man beat on this pay-for-play model we're headed towards, with this tweet this morning, the College Football Players Association announces its support for a non-employment CBA model for the sport, something Jack Swarbrick and others within the industry believe is a solution. And then he adds, a congressional carve-out is needed as explained here. Now, I'm not going to bore you with this in terms of the congressional carve-out, but that's always the last line, is that, right? Because how can you collectively bargain for something without being an employee?
Because they want to create, just like they did with student athlete, they want to still create another class. There is nobody who has a collectively bargained union with an entity and are not employees. They have to be employees. It's the only way. And you can call it whatever you want, but just like you're going through now, if anybody ever tries to challenge the status quo, you are going to lose in court, because by all intents and purposes, this is employment. What these guys do, they are told to be somewhere, they have to be there at a certain time or else they could face repercussions. They have a boss, and then they perform for an entity that makes money off of their performance. It's employment.
All right, so the vice president is a former Clemson football player, Justin Falsanelli. It's time to end the stalemate over the issues of college athletic employment and come up with a bipartisan solution to the bipartisan to the overall sustainability of college athletics. We at the CFBPA believe that this unique type of non-employment collective bargaining is an integral part of planning a new, more sustainable version of college athletics. In an otherwise divisive election year, believe that this is a solution that players, coaches, and college sports administrators can rally behind. Another former vice president is a Duke lacrosse player, Maddie Salomon. So she's involved in this thing as well. Given the unique role that college athletics play in the ecosystem of college athletics, it's worth exploring a new model specifically designed for them. This new model will provide the protections athletes deserve, but in a manner that makes the most sense for what they really want and need. Rather than applying the traditional employee model to the ever-changing, ever-evolving landscape, we need a new innovative solution consisting of... It's too much, man. Congress ain't saving you here.
There's a lot of nonsense in this whole
thing. Nonsense in this thing, but it's... I guess it's a start that there's part of it. But to me, I just don't understand how you expect Congress to bail you out of this and basically create, to your point, Chops, a separate entity that is not a student athlete, that is not employee, that somehow threads the needle without being opened up for litigation over and over and over again.
No, I don't see how that works.
It's impossible.
And with the, it's great that they have other sports perspectives. It's not all just football and men's basketball that makes up college athletics. But I do think sometimes that we get too bogged down in the idea of like, we need to fix this for every college athlete. And we do need to fix it for every college athlete. But that doesn't mean that there's one solution for every college athlete, because it continues to be so different. So to ask a former women's lacrosse player what, you know, what they should do is warranted for a lot of the sports, but it just doesn't really make sense to me or really apply. And that's what they've done at the congressional ones. They bring out athletes from all these different sports, and it's like, yeah, but they're playing a completely different game off the field than what the football players and the men's basketball players and some of the other select sports that have found a way to turn a profit. So it goes back to like the athletic directors who come out and say, oh, I've talked to athletes on campus. None of them want to be employees. And it's like, yeah, but have you done an actual study, or are you just informally asking people? And are you informally asking the non-revenue players, which again is just a different game? Both need solutions. They're going to be different solutions, I think, at this point.
I'm trying to figure when we entered the throwing stuff at the wall to see what sticks phase.
I think we've been there, right,
Reese? Maybe a decade. And this read to me is just more of that. Like, oh, hey, let's this body. There's already, and this I think was with every university, every educational organization. There's just too many bodies. There's just too many committees. There's just too many working groups. And they're all just trying to throw stuff at the wall to see what sticks and maybe survive a little bit longer.
How does Congress even keep track of all of the people that come to?
They don't know.
You can't.
Yeah.
When they get in front of one of these committees,
drooling on themselves, they're falling asleep.
They don't even know what the hell they're dealing with.
They don't know what this one is. Remember, there were two at the same time.
There were two at the same time, and Ted Cruz was up there, and he was trying to act like he knew.
Salivating on Nick Saban.
What was going on? No clue. Look, this is the reality of this. It's the real truth. I know we'll do that tomorrow. NIL works as it's designed in the non-revenue sports perfectly.
Yeah.
It works perfectly. Livy Dunn is the example. That's perfect. That's how NIL is supposed to work, right? She's on scholarship at LSU. She has a tremendous social media following. She's capitalized up that social media following and able to make money on her name, image, and likeness. LSU did not use an NIL collective to get her to sign at LSU to play gymnastics, because they don't make money on gymnastics at LSU or anywhere for that matter. But she can, because that's it. That's NIL. That's it working. It just doesn't work in the other side of it. So to your point, the notion that like, non-revenue and revenue sports should all be under the same umbrella. No, not. Football has to separate. Men's basketball has to separate. If there are others, women's basketball, maybe. I understand that there are some places where baseball makes money, but by and large, it doesn't, right? This is what makes the money. Football makes the money. The men's basketball tournament makes the money. The rest of this, NIL is working just fine. We'll talk to Austin Ward about this, and if there were any surprises about who did or did not enter the portal. That's coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
News, opinions, and insight all before breakfast. Rise and shine with Morning Juice.
Weekdays starting at 6.
The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Atlas Butler is built to keep you comfortable, and our plumbing services are no exception. You can rely on Atlas Butler for trusted, convenient plumbing and drain service. Our expert plumbers and drain specialists can take care of anything, from a broken water heater to a clogged drain. Call today, get it fixed today. That's our pledge to you.
Atlas Butler is at your service. Call 1-800-FURNACE.
He knows everything about the Buckeyes. He's been offered tens of dollars by a certain team to spill his secrets. He's told that certain team to go to hell.
Damn you all to hell!
He's Austin Ward.
Sponsored by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. More life, more energy.
All right, so Monday, 10:30. Let's have a visit with our good buddy Austin Ward right here at The Fan, dotting the I's as well, the podcast. All right, we were just talking about this Dellinger reporting of the college football PA wanting an unemployment. Honestly, sometimes on this stuff, buddy, I just go cross-eyed. But I know it's important to where the sport is going. You're on the front lines talking to people at the very highest level when you talk about from the Ohio State perspective. What do you think they want as a solution here, and how – willing are they to be part of finding that solution?
I think they're more willing than they've ever been in terms of dramatic, drastic change to college sports governance. And I say that to include everything that's under that umbrella, but all we're really talking about here is what's primarily making the money, which is college football. So I think maybe that has perked the antenna for Ohio State a little bit more than previous conversations, and also knowing that, like, I don't know, sweeping employment and rules and engagement were probably never going to happen. Gene Smith just talked about this with him 2 or 3 weeks ago when he had his event there in the Fawcett Center. It's like, well, it's something that you and I brought up on here a number of times. Like, we think collective bargaining and contracts and employment status are the way forward, but they need federal help on that front because all 50 states are going to have different rules for state institutions. And then there's private schools that are going to be, you know, fighting their own battles. And it is incredibly complicated to come up with solutions for that. And as you said, you know, going cross-eyed is one output of that. And then just going insane, trying to think about solutions is how I feel about it, because revenue sharing is probably where we're going to get to. And then they're going to need antitrust exemptions and all these other things from, you know, Congress, which feels like that will take multiple years. So mm-hmm. a lot of these things that are being talked about with Dellinger and others, like, you and I have kicked those around for several years, and like, they mm-hmm. seem like pretty good places to start, but then executing that becomes way more complicated.
It's every time you go, hey, there's a path, then all of a sudden you run into a brick wall and you yeah. go, well, I guess I got to go in another direction. It's like a never ending, we're never ending mice in a maze, just trying to find the way out of it. All the while, this, you know, what coaches want is they want their control back, right? They want control of yeah. roster. They want to be in this world where they're constantly not only recruiting new kids, high school kids, but people in the portal and guys on their own team. From that perspective, what do you think, what is the most, when you talk to coaches, recruiting yeah. guys, what is the most frustrating part of this? Like, if they could get one thing fixed first, what would the first thing be?
The first thing that they would want to do is they all want the calendar adjusted. If this is, if they're not going to fix anything else, which they all hope that they will, they want to not have everything be happening all at once. You look at December was one of the most insane months in for the foreseeable future. It seems like that's how it will be. They like, that's the common sense place that I think everyone agrees that's where it has to start. They've let this thing get out of control and far too difficult to manage. Beyond that, you do need to be able to get players and rosters in contractual situations where you know what your roster is going, you're going to have control over that both ways. I mean, mm-hmm. if a player wants to sign a 1-year contract, so be it. You know, and the teams and programs don't have to do that. You're getting obviously to the professional model, but those are the decisions that, you know, people make when they chart out their careers and their professions and where they want to be over the long haul. So I think getting to that point, that might be a little bit more difficult once you start talking about labor laws, but the calendar and then getting back to a situation where the number of transfers is not unlimited and you don't have guys going to three schools within 5 months or being at three schools yeah. in 5 months. That part, again, nobody intended that. It's a byproduct of them dragging their feet on NCAA legislation and then the federal government actually being involved and saying, hey, well, guess what? You can't restrict that movement on these guys because they're not your employees. So it does all circle back to that. And I feel like we've spent a lot of Mondays, Bo, like hammering home that point. That's yeah. where they have to get. But I think once you get to a spot where the revenue sharing exists, you would probably see less movement because you know where that money is going to be coming from. You know who's going to have it. You may have a salary cap across these sports, like, you know, or at least across the top power conferences in football. I think that will solve a lot of it. But again, it's the NCAA waiting and college administrators waiting so long to take action that they have to do all these things at once. And if you had taken them one at a time,
yes.
then you might have seen a lot more progress and a lot less nonsense for the last 3 or 4 years.
People can't wrap their head around what next December we're going to have games. So you're going to have a signing day, yeah. you're going to have a portal, and you're going to be playing a playoff all at the same time. So there's no sense or thought to that whatsoever.
It's unthinkable. I mean,
yes, it is.
December was already bad enough for the teams that were, you know, getting ready for the playoff, and there were only four of them. We're talking 12, and oh, by the way, at the same time, these same groups of people are saying, well, why don't we add four more teams and go to 16? Mm-hmm. They haven't even actually played the playoff yet, and they're already like, well, let's just make this more complicated.
Yeah, it's absolutely unbelievable what that month is going to be like for everybody. All the while, Kirby Smart got 10 years, $130 million. So we just, the machine just keeps on going. So you and I talked last week, the portal was closing. You mentioned there could be some guys that, and there were, but nobody mm-hmm. prominent off the roster. Any surprises in terms of who's in or who's out, and how active do you think the Buckeyes will be, if at all, can they be at all, in the portal this summer?
Yeah, I don't think there'll be a ton of activity. I do think that Ohio State is going to be involved with, you know, the one position that was hit the hardest, not just last week with Jahad Carter and the week before that with Cedric Hawkins, but also Kai Stokes previously. The safeties group, the numbers are a little bit light. And so I know that there's at least one option in there that has the interest of both Ohio State and Michigan. So that could be a spot where I think Ohio State would make a move. It doesn't feel like, you know, we talked about this a lot throughout spring and the potential. I don't think there's anything out there on the offensive line. Certainly not to the level that would be starting caliber, that would cause the Buckeyes to make a big move there. So I think when you look at the whole picture, the spring portal window did not bring much chaos to Ohio State, and it's not going to bring much disruption in terms of an addition over the summer either. At least it's hard to imagine that based on what's out there for them. So, you know, we did talk about it on Monday, and it wound up just being some guys that were not going to factor into the rotation. You know, the one that was probably closest to making an impact, we already knew he was leaving before spring camp was over, with Dallin Hayden. But if that's the quote-unquote worst-case scenario for Ohio State in the spring portal window, is they lose their third-string running back, I think they would have signed up for that in a heartbeat. So, you know, the thing that we were looking at was like, well, is it 50-50? Like, well, where do we think it's going to wind up with the quarterbacks? And I started, like, for the last several weeks, leaning towards all five things.
Yeah.
I think that would, out of anything, if you look across college football, there were definitely programs that thought that they would be able to drive a wedge in there and pluck one of these guys out. But they believe in what's going on here, the opportunity they have, not having to learn a new playbook post-spring. None of them would have likely been in position to go just immediately claim a starting job. So, you know, sticking around to learn from Ryan Day and Chip Kelly, and, you know, if injuries happen or whatever else, knock on wood, maybe there's opportunities to play for a national title contender. So all that lined up, and if you want to look at a surprise, I think that would probably be where it was, although you and I both felt like this had been trending that direction for a few weeks.
It had been, but at the same time, buddy, you and I both know you can't roll four guys in August.
Oh yeah. Of course, yeah.
We got to get this pared down real quickly, and I do hope that we have a more permanent solution early in camp versus this thing dragging out. I've got PTSD with that thing from a year ago, my friend.
Yeah, no, I think there will be, Bo. I think there will.
Good, good. Always good talking to you, buddy. Thanks for your time.
All right, see you next week.
All right, that's our good buddy, Austin Ward, right here at the Fan and dotting the I's on the Bryan Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. Thing or not a thing, up next, Bishop and Friends, right here on the Fan.
If you miss a live show, you can catch the podcast. If you miss the podcast, our hosts have volunteered to have dinner with you.
My, the meatloaf!
Atlas Butler is built to keep you comfortable, and our plumbing services are no exception. You can rely on Atlas Butler for trusted, convenient plumbing and drain service. Our expert plumbers and drain specialists can take care of anything, from a broken water heater to a clogged drain. Call today, get it fixed today. That's our pledge to you.
Atlas Butler is at your service. Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Taking the art of sports radio and day drinking to a whole new level. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
I take for a little thing or not a thing. Hit it, fellas.
Thing or not a thing.
Sponsored by Apex Plumbing Pros.
First one up today from ESPN. Even though Arizona Cardinals rookie Marvin Harrison Jr. has not signed the NFLPA's group licensing agreement, which would allow the Players Association to market his name, image, and likeness to more than 80 companies, the star wide receiver has a separate individual memorabilia deal in place with Fanatics, a source told ESPN on Friday. That deal, which Harrison signed before his last season at Ohio State, is worth more than $1 million and is for autographs, signed trading cards, game-worn apparel, and other marketing opportunities, the source said. However, Harrison is trying to renegotiate the deal for more money and is trying to use the fact that he has not yet signed the group licensing agreement as leverage, the source added. By not signing the NFLPA agreement, Harrison cannot be a part of a large number of marketing deals. For example, he can't have Nike produce his Cardinals jersey, which would then be sold at various outlets, including Fanatics, and he can't be in the Madden NFL video game. Thing or not a thing?
He's one of my favorite players here. I think he's missing the point on this, and I don't think this is worth it for him. I think if you are like in the end, he's a receiver for the Arizona Cardinals now. You know what I mean? Like you're not going to be face of the league as a receiver for the Arizona Cardinals. Like you're not Patrick Mahomes. You're not Caleb Williams. Like, I understand you want what is owed you. The idea, though, that you should have a different circumstances than other guys who have gone through this process, and certainly some who are far more well-known, it's a little off-putting, I would think. And I don't understand the upside of it for him. I don't understand it. He was the fourth pick in the draft?
Yeah.
So he's compensated well, very well. The next contract's the one that you're really going to crush it on. You already got the million from Fanatics for last year. You're going to get money based on being part of the NFL licensing agreement with Madden and the jerseys and all that. You get a cut of that. Like, why would you get more than everybody else?
And you don't have to do the work when you get the group licensing cut,
correct. And it just doesn't feel to me like he's, you know, you're not enough of a needle mover to elicit this type of change or expect this type of change, maybe.
It's a thing because I think he thinks he does. This would tell me that he clearly thinks he can buck the system, or he can create a different precedent by being the top non-quarterback player taken in a draft. He's got his own. He's on an island by himself, and I think this gets worked out eventually because I think the Fanatics or the NFLPA or whomever comes with him with an offer like, hey, he, I believe, thinks that they cannot move forward with the video game, with the season, without having him part of the game, part of the jerseys. And they will, but it does feel like if he doesn't budge, they might come to him with a little bigger number. But this does... It's not a thing for the casual fan, because he's just a cog, right? And a very, very large machine that will be able to move very fine without him in this instance.
And I don't want to speak poorly about a former Buckeye, but like for the guy who was all about football, watch the film, watch the tape, I'm not going to just train for the NFL draft. Why are you worried about this going into your rookie mini camps and your first off season?
Probably someone around him giving him the advice to do this.
It's just, you're not like what recent college, like the only guy I can think of in the last decade or so that could have done something like this and maybe forced them to do something special is Manziel. I mean, he was that kind of a rock star when he was drafted into the league. Burrow was kind of that.
Arch Manning coming up could probably do it.
Yeah, but it's really, yeah, you're right, Arch, if he's a good college player. But it's just... Yeah, I just don't understand the end game. Yeah,
and what's the road? I don't think you're really paving the road for the future of athletes in the NFL.
None of these things. Fanatics, none of these are going to bend for you.
Because they already got all the other stuff. Yeah.
They don't need you. It's nickels in a cushion of a sofa for them.
On Three reported on Sunday that former Rutgers, now Alabama center, Clifford Omorui, turned down a $2 million deal to choose the Crimson Tide. Omorui was also hearing offers from North Carolina, Georgetown, and Kansas State. In the reporting, On3 says it's unclear if any of those schools were the one that offered Omorui the $2 million deal. Remember, the big man was at Rutgers, where he was a pretty dominant defensive and offensive force for the Scarlet Knights. Now will likely be that for the Crimson Tide. Thing or not a thing?
Well, I have to say it's a pretty enormous thing that he turned down $2 million. So that's the going rate.
What did he get from Alabama?
I go to that, and I also say that's the going rate. So, like, if you were trying to land one of these guys in the portal, because, like, I mean, this guy's a nice player, but this isn't some sort of program changer coming in. That's the going rate. Like, somebody at Georgetown or something like of those three, it's hard for me to imagine Kansas State would have $2 million to throw around at a center on a basketball team. North Carolina would probably think it wouldn't need to. Georgetown would be the one maybe desperate enough to throw $2 million at it. And they would certainly have the ability to. Yeah, that's an enormous number to me. I'm shocked at that number.
Yeah, and it's so hard to tell with NIL numbers what gets reported, what actually is get paid out. What do these contracts actually look like? Iowa, Tony Perkins, they had a guard who left this year, and, you know, Fran McCaffrey was out there telling sources, or he was being a source for people saying that he came in and said, I can't remember the exact number, but it was something in this, like, low single-digit millions. But, I mean, that's still multi-million dollars, like, saying, like, that's what my services are being asked for. And it's like, is that really what the market is? But if that's what he can get, then go ahead and do it. I mean, because even if, okay, he turned down a $2 million deal, but that means the Crimson Tide, the Alabama offer, has to be somewhere in that range for him. Yeah, so he got, like, that's the real story of it, is this guy got upwards of $2 million to transfer somewhere. But again, who knows, really, if any of those numbers are ever actually true. At his annual charity softball game in Houston over the weekend, J.J. Watt was asked how he resists the temptation to join this very good Texans team.
Fortunate, lucky man. I got a beautiful wife. I got a beautiful son. I've had 12 great years in this league, and I'm very thankful to have walked away healthy and playing great. I told D'Amico last year, I said, don't call unless you absolutely need it, but if you ever do call, I'll be there. He knows not to call unless he absolutely needs it. This is the last year I'll tell him that, because I'm not going to keep training the way I've been training, but he knows that if he ever truly does need it, I'll be there for him, but I don't anticipate that happening. They got a very good crew.
Thing or not a thing?
Oh, I could see this happening for sure. I could absolutely see him. If they're in the mix and they're like a contender and he paratroops in December and
break out the old elbow brace and go out there.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Joe Thomas, right after he had retired, I remember him saying, this was like the year after he retired. And he said at that time, the Browns were not even close to being a contender or anything like that. But he said, I asked him, I said, well, how long would you need to be able to play in a game? And he said about a week. In terms of like getting himself where he needed to be. Now that was before he lost all the weight and all of that stuff. And JJ hasn't done that yet. Like JJ's still training, like he's a pro. So about a week when you're that elite to get to a point where you're ready to go, I could totally see this happening. Absolutely.
A snap count on a defensive end can really be controlled throughout a game easily.
20 snaps.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a thing. Yeah. It could be less. Like it could just be you're out there in a decoy spot where you just put your hand in the dirt, stand up, jog off the field. Like, the way he does train, he puts himself in good enough shape and keeps himself in good enough shape to where a guy like that wouldn't need a whole bunch of time to be ready.
You know? Just third down package.
Plus, this question was a great opportunity for J.J. Watt to remind everybody that he is still training very hard.
You know, he works out very hard.
The Watt brothers work very hard, guys, just so everybody knows.
They enjoy physical fitness.
They certainly do. We'll blitz the weekend coming up next. Bishop and Friends are here on The Fan.
An encyclopedic knowledge of sports and other random things you may or may not care about.
I think I found my mentor.
Rockman and Ice.
Weekdays from noon to 3.
The Fan.
Atlas Butler is built to keep you comfortable, and our plumbing services are no exception. You can rely on Atlas Butler for trusted, convenient plumbing and drain service. Our expert plumbers and drain specialists can take care of anything, from a broken water heater to a clogged drain. Call today, get it fixed today. That's our pledge to you.
Atlas Butler is at your service. Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Sports conversation that's worthy of a toast, or at least a stiff drink. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
All right, final hour on a Monday edition of the program. Time to blitz the weekend. Hit it, boys.
Bishop and Friends present a weekend sports blitz.
Hey, Reese, what'd you have this weekend?
Oh, yeah, the Cavs advancing. not throw they had to play patty cake with the Magic for seven games, but I guess I said five or six at the worst. So, whatever
is there. Well, look, I mean, you get a second round. I mean, that we said that was the minimum requirement for this operation to be viewed as a success. We'll ask Danny Cunningham about it at the bottom of the hour. But like, you say to yourself, well, like, how do you determine success for this era of Cavaliers basketball, this Mitchell era? Well, they get to the second round. So entertain us a little bit against Boston over the next couple of weeks and see if you can create a little bit of energy. That would be it, because it does feel like no matter what, there's going to be big changes this summer with that whole operation. So this is kind of this is it. They did the minimum requirement, which is get to the second round.
I believe I had that. Knicks fans, they just go crazy whenever they're just a little bit good. And maybe they're a little bit more than a little bit good this year. But, man, they won on Thursday. But then on Friday, J-Lo showed me. It was one of those super cuts of the fans outside of Madison Square Garden. They're always really well edited because they trail the audio. So you're already getting the next guy as you're still looking at the craziness of the previous guy. So they roll right along. I can't really share anything of what they said. But it is somewhat impressive the ways that they figure out how to use profanity. It's not just normal profanity. It's creative profanity from the Knicks fans. So good job out of them.
Are the Knicks the most universally popular operation in New York City? Because
yes.
Because there are Mets and Yankee fans. Mm-hmm. But there
Rangers,
are
Isles fans, Jets, Giants.
Yeah, and I think I could even put the Rangers maybe second, because the Islanders,
they're the ones
feel
in
like
Manhattan,
they're so,
too.
Sure. Because the Islanders are, you know, that's
Long
a Long
Island. That's a different state.
That's a thing. So, like, and the Nets haven't carved out anything. It does feel like in New York City, when you think about proper, the Manhattan part of it, I would, to me, it feels like most people from who grew up in New York are Knicks, Rangers, and then it splits the rest. Mm-hmm. Some are Mets, some are Yankees, some are Jets, some are Giants.
J-Lo's like, not a Nets fan at all.
No.
But she will perk up when the Knicks are good.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're like the universally, everybody there loves the Knicks. Like, it's kind of that simple. It's going to take decades for the Nets. And I don't even know if that, they feel like feels like they signed up to be the Clippers, honestly.
That area is nice where the Barclays Center is. I've never been in the arena, but I've been at like the stop for it. It's nice, but yeah. It doesn't have the same feel as Madison Square Garden.
No. I had it. I didn't want to have it, but the Leafs, I mean, it's got to be the most just bitter, worst off. It's Charlie Brown with the football. Like, they were down 3-1, no Austin Matthews for two games. They battle all the way back. They score first in a game seven, and then the football is again pulled out from under them as they're about ready to make the kick. I mean, it is unbelievable that it is. Traditionally, it is, if not the wealthiest, most valuable franchise in the NHL, it's usually that one or the Rangers. And they just, the most passion, all of it, and they can't get it done. And they've spent all these money on all these forwards, and they can't get it done. And they're a really good team. They're a 100-point team every year, but they just can't even get themselves to an Eastern Conference Final. They won the Cups in 67. It's been forever. And you can just feel the pressure of it, the weight of it. When they finally do. I mean, they got to the second round last year. It was like they won the Stanley Cup. They were not going to Boston and winning, and I knew it watching in the third period, even though they scored first. I'm like, it's not going to end well, and it didn't, because it just never does for them. What didn't you have, Reese?
I didn't have the Timberwolves beating the Nuggets in game one. Like, I think this will be an exciting and competitive series, but that game one final was pretty surprising to me, in Denver, too.
Yeah.
I think I didn't have this, but, you know, not watching a ton of Magic throughout the year, but I think Paolo Banchero just had, like, his series before the year. Like, this guy's going to be a part of that next generation of stars we were talking about, that idea. Like, who's going to be the next people to step up? Anthony Edwards had his series before the year last year, and he might actually be having the year right now. But I think the Magic, they're going to be real players in the East coming up here soon if they can keep that together, and Paolo Banchero keeps improving like this. But his first half was the reason that they had that 18-point lead last night, or yesterday afternoon against the Cavs. And if he can start to string together games like that, and he played well throughout this whole series, some shooting woes to start off, but after that was really spot on for the Magic. He's going to be really good.
He's a star. Yeah, and Orlando, I mean, I'm old enough to remember when Orlando was like a big-time free agent destination. They landed Grant Hill and Tracy McGrady in one offseason, almost landed Tim Duncan as well. So you can go there for sure. I did not have Anthony Edwards like this. I did not. As you mentioned, Reese, going to Denver and win. He went 17 of 29 in the game. He finished with 43-7-3. We had talked about forever, like, American-born, who's got next? He's next. That's the guy. This is what I think the NBA 2 years ago thought Ja would be doing at this time. Forget it. This is the dude. He's to go into Denver and beat them and to do it that way. Yeah, that's an attention getter, and I did not have him.
Is he a heel, though? Because he has that personality about him.
Look, Kobe was a heel. MJ was a heel. You can be a heel. You can do that. But this is he's about ready to jump on. If they can beat Denver in the series, the stage he's on is going to be an entirely different stage going forward. So I don't know how prepared he is ready for that. It's not like I'm watching all the T-Wolves games, but I'm paying attention to what the dude's doing now. Player who impressed the most, Reese?
Yeah, Anthony Edwards in that 43-point performance he had in Game 1. Donovan Mitchell's the other answer. He had 50 points in Game 6. They didn't win, but you had 39 in a Game 7 that you weren't going to allow the Cavaliers to lose. I mean, he got his ass kicked in the second half of that Game 6. I mean, every time he was going up, he was falling. And when he was taking hard shots, he was taking hard fouls. And somehow he wills it on a Sunday Game 7. So it's Donovan Mitchell for me, 89 points in two games, one of them being a win or it's done type of performance. Yeah, that was impressive.
This one, most people aren't probably going to know this name, but the Stars, the Dallas Stars, Radek Faksa, he hit the game winner in their 2-1 Game 7 victory over the Golden Knights. That's not the impressive part, though. The impressive part to me is Faksa. He's a veteran fourth liner. He promised his 2.5-year-old son before the game that he would score, and then he went out and he did it. So it's my question is, just tremendous foresight, or does he promise he's going to score a goal every night and he just happened to score this one and then told everybody about it? Either way, good job out of him. That's a great place to get your guaranteed goal for your son.
Yeah, I go Mitchell here from the standpoint of I don't know if he'll be back. My hunch is that they'll probably separate from him this year and that he will not sign the extension and he'll try to go into free agency. So they'll have to trade him this summer. There was a way to do it where you could kind of like push in your chips. I remember LeBron just throwing his jersey into the stands and I'm out of here. Not that for him. Like, it was critical to him that he had a moment, and boy, did he. The 50 burger in Game 6 and then the game he had yesterday, just not going to have it. They got down big. He could have pushed in chips. He just didn't allow it, and he'll be remembered fondly. However this all ends, and I don't know, they're probably not willing to concede that he's gone, but it does feel that way. You're going to have these moments. You're going to have 89 in two games to be able to look back on fondly. Player who disappointed the most, Reese?
It was either Netflix or whomever didn't make damn sure Eli Manning made it to the roast of Tom Brady last night. He was the one guy that got Brady in his career, and how you don't have him in at least a guest spot, at least a video, or even if you can somehow convince him enough money to be on stage for that. He tweeted earlier this morning, Eli did, "I thought about attending the roast of Tom Brady last night, but I did not want to roast him for a third time." Bad job by everybody involved to not make sure Eli was at that thing, because it would have made it that much better of a live appearance.
Do you think that Brady kept him out?
That's the most probable one there, because I can't imagine there's anybody.
No.
I'm not smarter than anybody at Netflix. I can't imagine that wasn't thrown out at least once or twice.
I mean, Ron Burgundy was there in character.
Yeah.
So, like, they seem to be able to get their hands on some people. And wasn't Peyton there? Was he not?
I don't know.
I don't think so. I saw something from Peyton. Whatever.
Well, and that's also the craziest thing is that, like, the one guy who has Brady's kryptonite isn't even the best Manning.
Yeah, right. And that he got him twice there and ruined his perfect season. Player disappointed the most for me. Got to do it. I'm sorry. Kit the dog. She had a bit of a leaky situation on the floor. She has a tell. She likes to get really aggressive licking stuff when that's going to happen, but it was still not fast enough for us. Luckily, it was on the hardwood floor, so not much of a hassle, but this is what happens when you're a player who disappoints. You got to stay outside for like an hour on Saturday afternoon to make sure that you've cleared your system.
Yes, you can't. Yes, absolutely. You have to make sure that happens. I'm going to go Brady here. Like, if you sign up for a roast and you have Jeff Ross at a mic, it's all in play. And I thought, like, that kind of, when I kind of paying attention to this morning and reading up on and hearing about it, like, him going up to, like, stand up for Bob Kraft over a massage joke, it just came across as, like, ultra thin skin, maybe protective, right? I'm sure he's very protective of Kraft, almost like a second father. But, like, Bob was there. Jeff Ross is going to roast. That's what he does. Yeah. That's the job. Like, that's, he's going to eviscerate you. And I think other than that, Brady came across as a winner, but I think that's always going to be kind of in the back of the mind that he was like so worried to like threaten, almost felt like he almost threatening Ross. Like, don't do that again. Is, you know, it just seemed like a little off putting that he went that way. Bud Kilmer, honorary coach of the week, Reese.
Well, just real quick, Manning was part of the roast. I think he had a couple minutes on stage, but I don't remember anything from him or nothing from
him.
And
that's Peyton, right?
Peyton, yeah. Manning, excuse Peyton. Me. I was up on stage, but I don't think there was anything memorable that he said. For me, the Bud Kilmer honorary coach of the week is Orlando Magic, Jamal Mosley. They're almost there, and they've got a superstar right now in Paolo Banchero. I think whatever he was doing this year, pushing the right buttons, like that team was kind of menacing to Cleveland at times. And I think you give him a lot of credit for how he was able to react and respond to different things that, well, J.B. Bickerstaff was trying to do.
I like this one because it sort of flips the dad-son, player-coach type thing, because I bet if this kid's at this Phillies game, he's probably a baseball player, right? Well, his dad tried to catch a Bryce Harper home run last night, and he didn't quite complete the grab. So later they sent ESPN sent Buster Olney up into the stands to interview them, and they're talking to the dad, and then Buster Olney's like, well, what did you think of your dad's attempt at the catch? And the son's quote is just, it was good, he tried. Good job out of him. He's my coach of the week.
I'm gonna give it to Beamsy's lacrosse coach O'Donnell. So we are a split team in the third four, so we play A teams that are usually 4A teams, or we play B teams. So the B teams, we annihilate. The A teams handle ourselves pretty well unless they're ultra physical, and then we just get beat up. So we had four games over Friday night into Saturday, and in every instance, we played a couple of A teams, but every instance we were up really big. And he did something that I think he does this all the time that I think is really cool in youth sports. So once you get a margin of, let's say it's 8-0 or something like that, and it's well within hand, he makes the kids pass 10 times before they can shoot on net. And he takes the better kids and he said, you can only shoot on net after 10 passes with your left hand. And what it creates is they actually get better that way, and it gives the other team a chance to learn the sport versus just a relentless bludgeoning.
It's like Hoosiers.
There's nothing gained there.
It's like Hoosiers. Got to have the fundamentals. Got to pass before you go.
Right. So they actually get better even if they're overwhelming a team. And I it's one of those things in youth sports. Like, you have to be able to thread that needle. He does a damn good job. It did a good job at this weekend. All right, we landed. Well, look, once one of those guys go into the projected here on 24/7, it usually comes home to roost. This happened during our show Friday. It became official shortly thereafter. We'll get to it coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
Death, taxes, and beating Michigan every damn year. This is your flagship home for Ohio State football. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Atlas Butler is built to keep you comfortable, and our plumbing services are no exception. You can rely on Atlas Butler for trusted, convenient plumbing and drain service. Our expert plumbers and drain specialists can take care of anything, from a broken water heater to a clogged drain. Call today, get it fixed today. That's our pledge to you.
Atlas Butler is at your service. Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Drink recommendations, movie reviews, sports discussion, and whatever the hell Reeser does. This is Bishop and Friends.
Well, my friends, over the last couple of weeks, you've certainly heard a lot about how treating low testosterone can improve your sleep, your workouts, your energy levels, and more. But I want to talk about your sex drive, because low testosterone can have a significant impact on your desire for intimacy as well. If you can even factor in erectile dysfunction, if you're in a relationship or wanting to be in a relationship, a low sex drive could really be a problem. The good news here is my friends at Tri-State Men's Health can help you with that. If any of those symptoms or the other ones we've talked about over the last month or so apply to you, go to tristatemenshealth.com. Take that low T quiz on the website. Schedule a consult with Tri-State Men's Health. They're going to do your lab work, have your results in about 30 minutes. I went through the process, could not have been happier with how easy it was. Licensed medical provider is going to review your results with you and discuss your options. Then you're going to make a decision together with the medical team. The cost of the appointment is $99. That includes the consult, the T and PSA test. If you sign up like I did, your appointment is free. Four offices, including two here in Columbus, 800-900-9654, or visit tristatemenshealth.com for more on that. Well, we had this happened like right at the end of the program. Was it right before Three Things on Friday?
Yeah,
it was right in there where we got it that Sean Stewart had been crystal balled to Ohio State men's basketball team, and then within a couple of hours, I'll tell you what, their crystal balls are on it. Once they go 100%, that's it. They got people on the boots on the ground there. So he commits to Ohio State on Friday afternoon. He is the second five-star prospect from the recruiting class of 2023 to join Ohio State, joining Kentucky center Aaron Bradshaw. So both of those guys are going to go in. He was not wildly productive year one at Duke. Couple of points a game. Did not play a ton of minutes on the roster either. He's a big kid, 6'9". What is he, 6'9", 220? Mm-hmm. Where am I seeing this in here?
6'9", 227, yeah.
So he's the one who broke the Zion Williamson vert.
Standing vert, yeah.
Yeah, so it's a big-time get as Jake Diebler is trying to put this thing together on the fly. They still need shooting. I mean, they just have to have.
I don't think they're going to get
shooting. But if they don't get it, then this is going to be it will be difficult because there just isn't. When you look at this roster right now, it's ultra athletic. We had Adam on last week, Adam Jardy, and he talked about this want to play with speed and tempo and play a bunch of guys. All of that works, but if you can't knock down shots, there's a real ceiling. When you think about the teams that make a run in March, you got to shoot threes, you got to have a lead guard. Those are the things that are most critical. On this one right now, that seems to be a pretty big hole in the resume.
Yeah, I mean, it concerns me a little bit that, according to 11 Warriors, reading about what's left with the roster and how they can make it up, there's one scholarship left, and that they are probably still looking to bolster their front court. The Bradshaw and who's behind him? There's one other.
Parks.
Yeah, Parks, who's going to come in as a sophomore year, but he barely played last year. And there's a chance that Sean Stewart can step in and play in the five spot for you. But at only 6'9", I guess they want another big down there. And because, yes, if you're going to be running and gunning that much, those guys are going to have to rotate out. But it just feels like shooting, like, what's the point of running and gunning if when you push it outside, there's a guy there standing in the corner and he can't hit the shot. And then you just miss a shot. That's what it feels like it's going to happen. And that there's going to be a few 30% shooters on the team or guys that, you know, are up there. And that's not going to be enough. You need somebody who can go out there and hit 40% of them.
It does feel like the portal window has closed, but their window to fill that need is closing with it. It's like you got $2 million, you know, lying around you can throw at somebody, because at this point we don't even know really who's left in the portal that could fill, if there's anybody left in the transfer portal that could fill that role. So the ask does become greater for the guys that you've returned.
Well, and
last year's roster.
Yeah, that's what Adam was mentioning. You remember last week? He said, "Look, they're hoping that they can get some improvement from within."
They have to, regardless. But
yeah, but just from a. Just you think about who's going to play. So Bruce and Michi are going to start. I would assume Mahaffey would start. It'll be Royal or Stewart will start. Bradshaw will start. And then, you know, they're very high on Junie Mobley, the freshman coming in, that he's going to play minutes for them this year. So he'll be in the mix there. The opposite of Stewart and Royal will be in the mix. You can talk all you want about wanting to play 9-10 guys. You can play 9 or 10 guys, but you're going to play 6 or 7 primarily. When you think about significant minutes, there's not enough time to do it another way. So I think how he puts all of this together is going to be interesting. It is a wildly athletic team. I mean, they've got length. They can go. They can
highlighted by these two bigs that they picked up in the portal. These are not
for sure.
Yeah, these are not like concrete footed big guys. These are jumpers. No. These are shot blockers. They'll go out, especially Sean Stewart. He'll go close out somebody on the edge. They can move.
Yeah. No. And so they have that part of it down. It is just, and I'm sure everybody in the portal is looking for the same thing. They all want shooting. and that's the way that it goes. I am so fascinated with how the money of all of this works, like how the NIL is spread around for these guys. Like you wonder, like, as somebody comes in, then is somebody worried about what's in your bag? Like, what a mess this must be trying to put this all together.
I also wonder how many schools, like, I mean, for Ohio State, it's probably a little easier to keep track of because they've kind of split there. You know, there were two of them and they kind of split one and said, you're going to focus on men's basketball and the other one's going to focus on football. But how many schools have something like that where one of the collective entities is raising for just basketball or focusing primarily on basketball? And so how do you, like, how often are there people who work, whatever the term is, for the collectives that go out and promise something, but they're like simultaneously promising to a football player and a basketball player, and then they get back to their offices and realize, oh, we both promised the same chunk of money?
Well, that's true. Yeah, because it's not like you're just filling out one. Be like the Cleveland Browns also being in charge of the Cleveland Cavaliers payroll.
Right. And they somehow are, they work together. They're connected. Yeah.
They're connected somehow. So still one more spot there for Jake to find somebody else. It's an ultra athletic team. There should be plenty of highlights coming out of it. Stewart is, he's a flyer. So this will be a fun team to watch next year. Hopefully there's some shooting somewhere in the portal that they could find. Although, as we alluded to, it doesn't feel like that's where they're looking. We got a giveaway for you. 821-9710 is your phone number. Winner's going to receive two passes to see The Fall Guy at the Grandview Theater and Tap House. That's May 11th. It's at 1:30. Chops and J-Lo will be in the mix. You can ask her, how did you actually decide to lower yourself to marrying this person? You can ask her that. She'll answer it. Very, I've asked her. And she was very direct. After the movie, joined them for the live recording of Chops TV. So this is going to be very fun. So you guys are going to be out there on Saturday. Did you watch, by the way, watch any of the television show?
I have not checked out any of it yet, but that is on our list. We will definitely check that out. So at least get like the pilot and maybe like a random episode somewhere in there.
Yeah, it's absolutely crazy that they turned this into a movie. But with Gosling, it's got a chance, I would say, at the very least. Danny Cunningham on the Cavs, their big win over the weekend, and what we expect their chances are against the Celtics coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
The Big Nine was a sad, incomplete place. Enter Ohio State. The rest is history. The Buckeye Show.
Weeknights at 6.
The Fan.
Atlas Butler is built to keep you comfortable, and our plumbing services are no exception. You can rely on Atlas Butler for trusted, convenient plumbing and drain service. Our expert plumbers and drain specialists can take care of anything, from a broken water heater to a clogged drain. Call today, get it fixed today. That's our pledge to you.
Atlas Butler is at your service. Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Distilled sports discussion served in light beer quantities. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
All right, let's get some perspective on the Cavaliers' first round win against Orlando and what to expect in round two against Boston. We head out on the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems fan guest hotline. Good buddy Danny Cunningham joining us, associate editor, Cleveland Magazine, longtime NBA scribe. Danny, thank you so much for taking the time, bud. Let's start here. How much pressure was there going into yesterday for the franchise, for Mitchell, for JB, and what was the first half like in that building?
There was an immense amount of pressure, and you could feel it in that building. Really, from the time the ball first went up to start the game until like 6 minutes left in the second quarter, it was so tight in there. It was a very weird environment because obviously fans are amped and they're ready to go. But when the team struggles as mightily as they did offensively, you could start to feel the pressure. You could start to feel the tension every time the Cavs had the ball, where every time Orlando had an open shot. It was something that was palpable inside Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse. And then once the Cavs started to finally hit a couple of shots yesterday at the end of that first half, things started to relax a little bit. And I think people in that building, I don't know that people stopped believing, but they could sense that momentum was shifting. And then once that happened, Orlando sort of didn't know how to handle that. But there was a lot of pressure going into yesterday, and really until the second half, you could feel it the entire time.
The last two for Donovan Mitchell, we've seen a lot of greatness up there. Usually it's in 23 with LeBron. A lot of great Kyrie stuff too. But where do you put those two back-to-backs from Mitchell?
Incredible stuff. I mean, he was, I believe, 1 point away. I know he had 39 points yesterday. I believe the only guy in Cavs history that's had back-to-back 40-point playoff games is LeBron. Like, that's the kind of company Donovan Mitchell is keeping with how he's been really his entire time in Cleveland. What he did in Game 6 was incredible, and I know the Cavs lost, and some of the shine gets taken away because of that. We also have to account for he is very clearly hampered by this knee injury that he's been dealing with for the second half of the year. There were some of those highlights from Game 6 in Orlando where he doesn't want to land on both feet after taking a jump shot because that knee's bothering him. So for him to really just gut his way through it and play as well as he did, there is no one that is in this comparison other than LeBron right now with how well he's playing and just really putting the entire team on his back. Because you want to look at, you know, some of the guys from the 80s, how awesome they were. It seems like they had more help than Donovan does right now. And then Kyrie Irving's the other one that gets brought up, but he was never the best player on a team like this. He was always the Robin to LeBron's Batman. So I don't think there's really a good comparison for just how awesome Donovan's been.
Did Donovan need this?
For his legacy, I think so. I think he needed to get out of the first round again. Like, he is too good of a player, Bo, to be a guy that gets not swept away, obviously, but gets knocked out of the playoffs in the first round 3 straight years. You go back to his final year in Utah where they lost, and it was kind of an embarrassing fashion to him, to Jalen Brunson and the Dallas Mavericks. And then last year against the Knicks, again, Jalen Brunson on a different team, albeit, but a very similar circumstance. I think he needed to get out of the first round to cement himself as a superstar in this league and to do not just to get out of the first round, but the way he played in the final 2 games to will his team to the second round. I think it's a really big thing for his stature across the league.
I agree with you. I think he needed it. And then, you know, there's obviously there's the uncertainty of what the future holds for him up there. And the reality is, like, to not get out of the first round would have, if he does, if they move off of him or whatever happens, if he doesn't do an extension, whatever happens this summer, you know more about that than I do. But if that were to happen, you were never to get out of the first round, it feels pretty hollow, right?
Oh, absolutely. And Donovan said as much, not as far as like the future and whatnot yesterday after the game, but you know, the Cavs didn't trade for Donovan Mitchell to just make the first round of the playoffs. Like, that's not what the goal of that trade was. And even reaching the second round of the playoffs, if this is as far as they get the entire time Donovan Mitchell's on the roster, it's not enough for what that trade was. Now, Donovan has certainly, I think, held up his end of the bargain with how good of a basketball player he's been in town and really, I think, a leader, too. But the Cavs made that trade for more than just winning a single playoff series. But if they would not have won a playoff series, and who knows what this summer would have brought in had that happened, it looks real bad in hindsight, but you show up in Game 7, you do exactly what you need to do in the second half, and it changes, or it starts to write history, I guess, in a more favorable light.
He has provided some incredible moments in the short tenure up there, and certainly those 2 games will be remembered. Obviously, it'll be remembered more if they can make this interesting against Boston. I was looking this morning, my friend, and the most popular bet is Celtics in 4. What prevents that from happening, and what is your read on this matchup with Boston?
I think Celtics in 4 is a little aggressive. I understand Boston's the best team in basketball. I get that. I think that the Cavaliers actually match up relatively well with them. I'm not saying that I expect the Cavs to win this series, but I do think that they have some advantages that they can use to win a game or two. I think for that to happen, they need Donovan Mitchell to continue playing the way Donovan Mitchell has played over the last 2 games. Like, if he continues to go out and average, I'm not saying it has to be 40 points a game in the playoffs the way it's been the last 2, but if he averages 35 a night, I don't think the Cavs are going to get swept. The other thing that I think the Cavs have going for them, if they can get Jarrett Allen back in the lineup as he's dealing with that rib injury, which has, you know, been described as very, very painful, Boston's not going to have Kristaps Porzingis in the series, I don't believe, and the Celtics don't have a ton of other size there. The Cavaliers, if they get Jarrett Allen back, they could exploit that. I also think, you know, you look back at the game the Cavs won against Boston in the regular season, where the Celtics were up by 20 and they took their foot off the gas. And it's tough to be really nitpicky with a team that won 64 games the way the Celtics did. But they had a number of losses like that where they would have a 15 to 20 point lead and they take their foot off the gas. And when you do that, it's really hard to put your foot back on the gas. And I wouldn't be surprised if there's a game where the Cavs are down by like 12 or 15 and they come back to win in this series.
You know, the when Mitchell becomes available, then you change the way you're building something, right? But the way that we assumed this was going to be built before the acquisition of Donovan Mitchell was Garland Mobley. Are those two ready for this stage, and can they lift their game to at least be in the vicinity? And isn't that also part of the requirement?
It absolutely is. Evan Mobley, I think, defensively has lifted his game, and offensively he's been such an enigma. Like, what he does defensively, for as frustrating as he can be on offense at times, what he does defensively is absolutely incredible. You're sitting there watching these games, and he has three or four just absolute wow plays, it feels like, on an every night basis on the defensive end of the floor. But the Cavs also need to be able to count on him offensively, not to carry the load, but at least help out, and he hasn't really been able to do that. And then as far as Garland goes, yesterday was ugly, but you also have to look, I think if you're looking for a reason for optimism there, look at that first quarter in game five when he had 17 points. And that was it's not a do or die game, but when you're tied 2-2 game five, if you've lost two straight, that's a pretty big moment. He stepped up there. His first three quarters in game six were fantastic. Now, the fourth quarter was a stinker, and the first three quarters yesterday were a stinker. So he needs to be more consistent, but I do think he's capable of raising his level there. But Evan Mobley offensively is really where I look at. That's the thing that if this is going to get to where it got, where the Cavs want it to go, that's what needs vast improvement.
All right, buddy, I'll get you out of here on this one. How do you see this one going?
I think that this is a series the Celtics are going to win. I have it going six games. I think Donovan Mitchell's been too good for me to not see him winning a game, not by himself, but having another performance like yesterday or like in game six against Orlando. And then I think there might be another game where the Celtics have a lead, where it's double digits and they kind of take their foot off the gas. Game could be in Cleveland, maybe game three or four is like that. And you see the Cavs have a comeback where they're able to close the deal late and pick up a second win in the series. But ultimately, the Celtics are the team, I think, that will be moving on to the conference finals.
Great talking to you, buddy. Thank you so much for your time and giving us a little bit of it today.
Anytime, Bill.
All right, that's Danny Cunningham, associate editor, Cleveland Magazine. Been covering NBA for several years and on the Cavs beat for a while now. We hit three things on a Monday. Coming up next, Bishop and Friends, right here on The Fan.
Head to 971thefan.com to listen on demand and subscribe to all our podcasts. Wasting time has never been easier. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Atlas Butler is built to keep you comfortable, and our plumbing services are no exception. You can rely on Atlas Butler for trusted, convenient plumbing and drain service. Our expert plumbers and drain specialists can take care of anything, from a broken water heater to a clogged drain. Call today, get it fixed today. That's our pledge to you.
Atlas Butler is at your service. Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Our top men are working on everything except this show. This is Bishop and Friends.
I'm seeing this. The OHSA expect to announce today its new seven-division format for basketball. About time. Yeah. I mean, there's no reason it should be different than football or anything else, the rest of them. What do we have on the poll today, Reese?
The Daily Fan poll asks, how many games will the Cavaliers-Celtics playoff series last? Four, five, six, or seven? 50% of you out there think it's going to go five, so the gentleman's sweep likely for the Cavs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Cavs in four, how about?
Six is getting 33%, four is getting 11%. Guys, some of you out there think the Cavs are going to sweep the Celtics in four games? You kidding me? Game one tomorrow night in Boston, seven's getting 7% there.
This is a 7 o'clock tip, right?
Yep, this is perfect.
So this is money. This is outstanding. I think for, get me a game seven in Boston. And give me a contested series. Like, don't be...
I just want a competitive second half against the Celtics tomorrow night. That's my starting point.
What would you rather have? Trading off bad games back and forth to get to game seven or a gentleman's sweep like we saw in Lakers Nuggets?
I'd rather have the gentleman's sweep. Versus, like, you're saying the other option is seven blowouts?
Yeah.
Then I'll take the gentleman's sweep. Every game goes down to the last minute.
But if the game seven is tight, then you'll take that?
Yes. If game seven's tight, then you go that way. Yeah. All right. Three things. Hit it.
One, two.
Three things.
Sponsored by Custom Air. Custom Air. Custom Solutions. Custom Comfort.
Number one for me. So this morning, Beamsy and Bootsy are preparing for school, and I hear Beamsy yell, "Dad, there's a bug on my bed." And so I go up there, and he's like in his boxer shorts. I'm like, "Dude, it's a bug. What are you talking about? There's a bug on your bed." So I look around. There's no bugs anywhere. I can't see anything. I'm like, "What did you see?" And I'm like, "Are you sure? Were you just seeing something?" And he was like adamant. And then so then I'm like, I think you were probably just seeing something." So I flip everything over. There's nothing in the bed, nothing on the bed. I look over, and there was a legit hornet, like yellow jacket hornet, not bumblebee hornet. So what does that tell you? If you have one, there are more.
Yeah.
Now, how did it get in? Who knows? But how many more could there be? God knows. But this is what I do know. In a week ago, when I had a snake in my garage and now a yellow jacket in a boy's bedroom, it might be time to move.
Montana's coming to you, Bo. It's just coming back to you.
Mighty.
My car saga continues. So I did a test run on Saturday to see how it was going, and it was going all right. And then I popped on the heat because I did have the heat on Wednesday morning, and that seemed to upset it. I don't know, but I ended up taking it to the dealership. The real story of it is, though, the person on the phone was like, "Well, if your check engine light is flashing, that means you should probably get it towed." And I looked up where the dealership was, and I was like, "I don't even have to get on the highway. It's only an 11-minute drive. I think I can make it." You know, the classic guy thing where you just go,
"Yeah,
I think I can make it." And I did make it, but it took my zero to about 45, which is the highest I could get it, was probably something like 12 seconds.
Oh, jeez.
Not great.
No, not.
This from Pro Football Talk. The NFL says that the schedule release is coming this month because they release it every May. They seem to think, or they being Mike Florio, seems to think they're going to be doing it next week instead of this week. So the past couple of years, it's been like the 10th or the 11th of May, which is whatever that second Thursday of the month is going to be. But Florio says that with the upfronts from television networks taking place next week in New York City, the NFL is going to try to gobble up all the attention there.
Well, the fan will play it whenever it does happen is the plan right now. I know that.
Yeah, I feel I can get to the bottom of that this afternoon. I'll get you a concrete answer, Reese, on that this afternoon. Number two for me. So I mentioned we had LaxFest this weekend, 190 teams, everybody in, stuff everywhere. My wife signed up about a year ago to be on the board for the event, and she's like, "You know, you coach everything. I want to do something." So she got into it. It has been a crazy year, but good job out of her. All the vendors were great. Everything went off without a hitch. Everybody got taken care of, her and the entire group. They absolutely crushed it. And the one thing that was so helpless about when you put on something like this is it is outdoors. So you can't help lightning, right? And so despite it kind of being in the vicinity a lot, nothing happened there too. So God smiled down. So good job out of you, honey, on that one.
For those of you out there that know the opening guitar riff to Lynyrd Skynyrd's Sweet Home Alabama, you probably would also know it's not really a lyric, but he says a little phrase right there at the beginning before they actually start singing. And we were driving in the car yesterday, and I went along with it because I knew it, and I must have just hit it. I must have synced up just right because I, you know, it goes and I go, "Turn it up." And then J-Lo reaches over. She's driving. I'm in the passenger seat because my car's at the shop. She's driving and she turns it up. And then I go, "Wait a minute. Did you turn it up because you liked the song or because I said turn it up?" And she's like, "You said turn it up." And I was like, "Well, that's just in the song. You didn't have, if I wanted to, I could have just leaned forward and turned it up myself." But hey, I guess she listens to me sometimes.
Second thing by me, great job by Scotty Vegas, Dan in promotions, Amy and Amber in sales, and everybody else who showed up to the Hollywood Casino Columbus yesterday for the Fans Euchre Tournament. Fun was had. Got to watch the Cavs win in Game 7, raise some money with the Buckeye Cruise for cancer research. I went to bed Saturday night thinking I was good at Euchre. Woke up Sunday thinking, this could be fun. I could make a run at this. I went to bed Sunday thinking, boy, I suck at Euchre. We didn't win a game.
Not one?
Not a single game. We went 0 for 5.
Is Euchre the most Ohio game ever? I'd never even heard of it till I moved here.
It's like Wisconsin, Illinois, Ohio.
Michigan, it's big up there too, isn't it?
So in like the four-state quadrant, it's a big deal there. And boy, people get real serious about their euchre.
I have to relearn the rules time I play.
Me too. I'm the same. I have no clue what's going on. Every time, like, my in-laws always want to play my wife and I, and they just obliterate us. I'm like, I don't know what I'm trying to do here. Can we just play poker? I don't understand this. Number three for me, pray for me this week. I'm going to need it. It's Bootsy's first communion. So it's the last one of those we got to go through. My dad gets here Wednesday. We know how I feel about him. And it's Mother's Day, in which on Sunday, not only, and we love doing everything we do for my wife, but we have to do Mother's Day with her mother-in-law too. So her mother-in-law, my dad, all in a big operation, a lot. It's going to be a full week, kids. Full week.
Yeah, good luck to you on that one. So earlier you gave away the tickets to our live podcast happening at the Grandview Theater and Draft House on Saturday. But then I see this because I hadn't looked into it. Nola Gold, my Major League Rugby team, off last week, so didn't have an appointment with them. Now they're playing on Saturday at 2 p.m. That movie starts at 1:30. I'm going to have to watch it on repeat. So nobody text me the results of the Nola Gold game on Saturday before I get a chance to watch it. I know you all be really ready to let me know what happens, but I'll have to skip it live.
So John Columbus was the winner of that first pair of tickets. I think we'll have
all a right,
pair
John.
Tuesday and Wednesday. So, John, if you're still listening, do not come with Nola Gold spoilers. Bo, you've asked the question when to jump in on the Cleveland Guardians baseball season.
Yeah.
So Stephen Kwan's going to hit the 10-day DL sometime today. They're going to make the announcement official with a hamstring injury. When he comes off that DL and makes his first start, then you might want to put yourself back in Guardians mode.
That's where. So give. I got a couple weeks?
I'd say so, yeah.
All right, very good. We're back tomorrow. Rothman and Ice up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
If you haven't thought about Buckeye football today, I'm sorry to tell you that you're dead. Our condolences. Your home of the Buckeyes. The Fan. This is a Fan Action Update.
This Action Update is brought to you by Tipico. Gammon promo code 1-800-GAMBLER. The Guardians open up a series with the Tigers today. Cleveland coming off two wins in a row. We're now 22-12 on the year and minus 125 on the money line today. Cleveland is plus 135 to win the AL Central, followed by the Twins at plus 150 and the Tigers at plus 550. For your Tipico Action Update, I'm Scotty Vegas.
Atlas Butler is built to keep you comfortable, and our plumbing services are no exception. You can rely on Atlas Butler for trusted, convenient plumbing and drain service. Our expert plumbers and drain specialists can take care of anything, from a broken water heater to a clogged drain. Call today, get it fixed today. That's our pledge to you.
Atlas Butler is at your service. Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Broadcasting from the Lindsay Honda Studios.
Honda makes the cars. Lindsay makes the difference. Visit lindsayhonda.com.
WBNSFM, HD1 Columbus. The Fan.
Good afternoon. I'm Ryan Baker. The Cleveland Cavaliers are moving on in the NBA playoffs. They beat the Orlando Magic 106-94 in Game 7 yesterday to advance. Donovan Mitchell was brilliant with 39 points and 9 rebounds. Mitchell alone outscored the Magic 17-15 in the third. The Cavs start their second round series with the Celtics in Boston tomorrow night at 7. Two games in the NBA playoffs tonight as the Knicks and Pacers start their second round series at 7:30. Then the Timberwolves and Nuggets play game 2 of their series at 10. The Cleveland Guardians start a series with the Detroit Tigers at 6:10 tonight up at Progressive Field. Stephen Kwan is heading to the IL with a hamstring injury. Top prospect Kyle Manzardo is getting called up from Columbus. This one's sponsored by Dr. Mark Levy. If you're snoring and not sleeping, give him a call at 1-800-MORE-SLEEP, or you can visit him online, Sleep Better.
Atlas Butler is built to keep you comfortable, and our plumbing services are no exception. You can rely on Atlas Butler for trusted, convenient plumbing and drain service. Our expert plumbers and drain specialists can take care of anything, from a broken water heater to a clogged drain. Call today, get it fixed today. That's our pledge to you.